The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, October 20th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Ben Simmons doesn't want to play or even practice with the Philadelphia 76ers anymore. So Coach Doc Rivers kicked out the All-Star guard and suspended him for the season opener. Joel Embiid put Simmons on blast. At this point, I don't care about the man. He does whatever he wants, Embiid said.
Here's the deal. I think the quote is, he says, I don't care about that man. People are saying he said, I don't care about that man.
Uh-huh.
And I think he's saying, I don't care about that man.
Man.
It's weird. It's weird.
Why should he say it that way? I don't care about that. Well, because he doesn't care about
all that's going on over there. If he says, I don't care about that man, that's a little more harsh, a little more pointed. He means nothing to me.
But he goes on to say he doesn't want to babysit and stuff like that. He says he does whatever he wants. He's talking about Ben Simmons.
So he's saying, I don't care about that man. He does whatever he wants. I don't care about that, man.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying.
There's a difference between that and I don't care about that man. He does whatever he wants, as opposed to I don't care about that man. He does whatever he wants to. You know what I mean? There is a difference in the inflection.
It's more dismissive. Yeah, he is saying he does not want to be associated with it.
And he's not going to be distracted by it.
Right, yeah.
Simmons refused to play as a full participant at Tuesday's practice a day after he lingered outside a team huddle and mostly stayed alone in a corner without talking to teammates. Embiid dropped multiple references Tuesday to not working as a babysitter anymore for the 25-year-old Australian guard who still has 4 years and $147 million left on his contract. I'm not here to babysit, Embiid said. I'd be willing to babysit if somebody wants to listen, but that's not my job. That's out of my control. Simmons has not talked publicly since his offseason trade request. His early exit from practice meant he skipped Tuesday's scheduled media availability, and there's no telling if he'll return to the Sixers. Sixers president Daryl Morey and general manager Elton Brand, who were at Tuesday's practice, have yet to receive a trade offer worthy of the franchise dealing their three-time All-Star. Morey said at the start of training camp he wouldn't be forced into making a trade just for the sake of appeasing Simmons. Simmons gets paid quarterly, and he received his first installment in the summer, but the Sixers have kept Simmons' second installment, and he won't get any of that until he's on the court. And they said if it comes around to the third installment, they'll keep that too. Dr. Rachel Levine, the former health secretary in Pennsylvania, now holds a very high honor in the U.S. Public Health Service. On Tuesday, Dr. Levine, the assistant secretary of health, became the first openly transgender person to be sworn in as a four-star officer across any of the country's eight uniformed services. Levine was sworn in as an admiral, the highest-ranking official of the U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corp. As an admiral, Levine will oversee 6,000 uniformed public health officers. I stand on the shoulders of the LGBTQ individuals who come before me, both known and unknown. May this appointment today be the first of many more to come as we create a diverse and more inclusive future. Diversity makes us stronger. Each person has a different perspective and different strengths that they bring to make the whole community stronger, she said after being sworn in. Levine comes from a family of veterans and says she is honored to wear this uniform. In heading the Health Corps, Levine will be in charge of crises ranging from the coronavirus pandemic to natural disasters such as flooding. The school district of Philadelphia is warning parents of the fallout from a possible SEPTA strike next month. Like, this is what they need on top of everything that's going on. The current contract for the Transport Workers Union Local 234 expires in 11 days. The union authorized a strike as early as November 1st if a new contract deal is not reached. Superintendent Dr. William Heights sent a letter to parents on Tuesday about the situation, saying if the strike does occur, some or all of the schools could shift back to 100% virtual learning.
Huh.
The school district of Philadelphia is not directly involved in these contract negotiations. However, it is clear that a SEPTA strike would have a devastating impact on the operation of our school district and our ability to sustain in-person learning 5 days a week for all students, something we all worked extremely hard to make happen for the students this school year, Height said.
That's why they pick strike times that are going to be the most inconvenient, right? So you can hopefully not get to the strike.
Right. Nearly 60,000 students rely on SEPTA to get to and from school in the midst of our national driver shortage that is already disrupting our district operations. providing student transportation support to all students who would need it during a strike would not be an option, Height said. The district is also surveying teachers and staff to figure out how many rely on SEPTA to get to work. The district set up a website. It's phillasd.org/SEPTA strike to keep families updated. In sports this morning. The Sixers begin their season tonight with a game in New Orleans against the Pelicans. The Sixers announced late in yesterday's practice that Ben Simmons has been suspended for one game for conduct detrimental to the team, a suspension he'll serve for this opening game. Simmons was thrown out of practice by Coach Rivers after he declined several times to sub in for a drill. Tip-off for tonight's game is scheduled for 8 o'clock. The Houston Astros beat the Boston Red Sox 9-2 in Game 4 last night at Fenway. After tying in the 8th inning on Jose Altuve's solo home run, the Astros beat up on the Boston bullpen for 7 more runs in the 9th to even the best of 7 playoff series at 2 games apiece. Game 5 is this evening and first pitch is scheduled for 5:05. In the National League, the Dodgers came back to beat the Atlanta Braves in Los Angeles. In the bottom of the 8th inning, Cody Bellinger hit a game-tying 3-run home run, erasing a 5-2 Atlanta lead and setting up Mookie Betts' go-ahead double a few batters later. The Dodgers beat the Braves 6-5 and now can even the NLCS tonight. Game 4 at Dodger Stadium will get underway just after 8 o'clock. And the Flyers return to the ice tonight for a game at home against the Boston Bruins. The game will be nationally televised on TNT. The puck is set to drop at 7:30. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. As we begin this Wednesday morning, I have a question for our technical department. Are we live streaming? I got the reason I asked is a text that says, are yous live streaming on YouTube? I couldn't find yous yesterday. So that's 2 youses, yeah. And I'm not passing on them, and I need to look into that. Yeah. So here comes Nick Murphy. Uh-oh. Official word.
So we usually start around 6:30 after entertainment, after birthdays.
After the news.
Yes, after birthdays, because we usually play a whole bunch of music during birthdays.
Okay, that's and there's true. A copyright issue. All right, good to know. So I will let the masses be aware that we will begin that at 6:30-ish.
Yeah,
nice. That is good to know.
But that's the meat of the show anyway. The news is all made up.
And now... Well, now yous know.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that yous all know about that. So it'll be up and running in a little while, and you're going to want to be on board because we have some good stuff happening today. We have a couple of really great guests. Tom Papa is going to be on.
Love Tom Papa.
Yeah, Tom's probably my favorite comedian, and he's going to be at the Borgata on Saturday night and just kind of getting some tickets sold and wants to check in. It's always great to talk to Tom, so around 9 o'clock we'll spend some time with him. And... the amazing Danica McKellar is going to be joining us. Steve?
Yep.
It's a Hallmark Channel Christmas.
Don't I know it?
She is going to be
pushing. Yeah, I already made a date with your father-in-law.
Yeah, that's right. You and Butch. Hang out and watch your Christmas Hallmark movies together. I have an interesting story concerning the Hallmark movies that I might get to that I think you will find delightful, Steve.
Absolutely. I have to ask her, and I will ask her during the interview, will there ever be like a Titan matchup with her and Candace Cameron Bure in one movie?
Ooh.
That'd be awesome.
Or Lacey Chabert.
Or Lacey Chabert, the Troika.
Or like a swinging Christmas or something like that.
Yeah.
So we have those two guests. We have the money clips. And don't forget, we have today, tomorrow, and Friday. And that's it for this run of cash contests. So we don't want you to miss out on the $500 opportunity. It's a Wednesday, so we'll go live on Fox Good Day. We also have a secret text word, and you can enter to win that now. It's Chance Win Suicide Squad on digital. So text word secret to 39333, and we'll see who ends up walking away with that today. On top of all that... we will have some giveaways in conjunction with the Bud Light Thursday night kickoff and the Horse Tavern and Grill, which you will find in Sellersville, is going to be here this morning to give us some food and to give some gift cards to you. And, of course, we'll have an appearance with Nick McElwain tomorrow night there with the MM Army. And that's from 7 to 9 at the Horse Tavern and Grill in Sellersville.
I did this one 2 years ago, and I couldn't believe the number of people who showed up exclusively because they heard it on MMR. We're huge in Sellersville, and it was just a lot of people that stopped by. Really nice, and I'm looking forward to going back tomorrow night.
Excellent. Wonderful. So we have these giveaways, these guests, all this stuff happening. We'll take a break, and we'll get into it all, and we'll be streaming live shortly.
Yes.
Right after the birthdays. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And probably other places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Just want to say I don't like Woodhaven Road.
Why? No.
I hit a median there one time. And ever since, I've hated Woodhaven Road.
Really? Did you cause damage?
I don't know. No, I didn't, like, harm the car or anything like that, but it scared the hell out of me. It was this median I didn't even know was there, and I was just trying to change lanes and went boom, and I'm like, ugh.
How do you know it was there?
Dude.
Maybe it rushed right out. You didn't see it last night. Yeah.
Woodhaven exit on 95 meant I was close to home when I lived out in Bucks County, so that was always like a good thing.
Okay, it's a good sign for you. See?
Give you that warm feeling inside.
One person, it's a wonderful thing. Other thing, it's a horrible nightmare. So have fun on Woodhaven Road, but not if you're in that accident.
Right.
All right, let's see. We're going to do a stupid question this morning. Pair of tickets for Pops Rocks, ABBA, Mamma Mia, and more, which is going to be on Wednesday, November 7th. At 17th, I'm sorry, at the Kimmel Center. Okay, weird question for you this morning.
All right.
We did a fun one yesterday. This is a weird one. What culture considered baboons to be sacred and depicted a baboon named Baba as the attendant of their god of wisdom?
Baba.
215-263-WMMR. So we're looking for the culture that considered a baboon named Baba. As the attendant of their god of wisdom.
That's a parrot.
215-263-WMMR. For this purposes, the parrot is playing a baboon.
I see, yeah.
No, the parrot is calling for the baboon.
Yeah, calling for the baboon. Baba.
Yes. Yeah. Also praise to the...
Praise Baba.
Baba, yeah.
All right, we'll go through some birthdays today. Wednesday, October 20th. Snoop Dogg's 50th birthday today. Snoop Doggy Dogg, the D-O-double-G, whatever you want to call him.
So he hung a quick 180 on that Snoop Lion thing, right?
That was a quick phase. The Lion thing did not work, and he quickly abandoned it. Yes.
I'm no longer Snoop Lion.
Calvin Broadus Jr. is his birth name, by the way. Born in Long Beach, California.
He was on an episode of Mythic Quest with Rob McElhenney this summer.
It is funny to watch his professional arc and how it went. And he went from gangsta rapper to... He has floated in and out of so many different pop culture realms, all the way from the very hardened street life to going to... these hoity-toity events and being the man of the
Martha Stewart.
Yeah. You know,
does a show with Martha Stewart as Huggy Bear in the Starsky and Hutch movie.
There's a funny, to just give you some perspective, there's a line in the movie The Devil Wears Prada where the main woman, you know, it's
Anna Wintour.
Meryl Streep's character. Yeah. Her name isn't Anna Wintour. Right, yeah. But anyway, she says that we need to move Snoop Dogg to my table.
And this
big event in Paris. And it's like... yeah, that's not out of the realm either. But a big birthday for him today. Think he's smoking weed on his 50th
Probably,
birthday?
Probably, yes.
Yeah. Then you have William Zabka.
Sweet the lick.
Yep.
You have a problem with that. Recency. No mercy.
He is the best around.
The best.
Cobra Kai. I can't wait for the next season, man.
Is it the last season or is it?
No, I think it might be two more, Steve.
Because he's a little tulip.
I think I read. That's right.
Yes.
That was from just one of the guys.
Yes. One of the guys.
We've had him on a couple times.
He's great.
He's awesome. He's fantastic.
Clip, he was Greg Tolman. So he was.
Tolman.
Yeah.
It's because he's a little tulip.
That show. What a surprise. What a what a gift, Cobra Kai.
I watched the first season. I have to watch the rest of the seasons because I'm way behind that, and I did enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I was under the misapprehension that it was more like an Airplane parody of The Karate Kid, which it is not.
I thought the same thing. And then as you watch it and you go, okay, it's not that. And then after a while you're going, wow, the show really has a heart to it.
Right, yeah. And they're trying for something.
And it's really well done. So happy birthday to William Zabka, who is 56 today. Viggo Mortensen also celebrates a birthday.
Great actor.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this, Lord of the Rings. Oh, so good.
Absolutely.
The heart of the movie. One of the hearts.
You know what I enjoyed him in, too, was Green Book.
He's excellent.
A completely different character in that.
Sebastian Maniscalco is his buddy in that, too.
Yeah, they're great together. But
and Preston,
History of Violence.
Yes, Kathy hates History of Violence, but we love it. Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is 63
today. I should watch it again.
You probably won't like it.
You probably
won't.
I'm not
going to like it.
But he comes to Philadelphia at the end of that movie.
Yes, so he does, yeah.
A little local tie.
I finally watched Captain Fantastic. Chuck recommended it years ago. Man, is that a great movie. And
amazing. Oh, wow.
He's
I'm glad
incredible.
You brought that up.
Yeah, they live out in the wild, and you know, they're a bunch of sort of hippies out in the, like, Oregon or Washington or whatever, but it's a great movie.
Yeah. Keith Hernandez, the baseball player, Hall of Famer, was on Seinfeld.
That's, yes, you know...
That's probably his most famous right? That arc is legendary.
He had a legendary baseball career, and I just think back and to the left.
Yeah, they managed to parody the JFK movie, too. Mm-hmm.
I grew up watching him. He played for the Cardinals. He was first baseman, so he was our star, or one of the stars.
Rocking mustache, too.
Big time.
Yeah.
He is 68. Yeah, and then he did those...
Grecian Formula.
Well, it was a...
Just for men.
Just for men. That's it. Yeah. A similar product.
Yep. So it was Hair Color for Men.
Right, yeah.
So he is celebrating his 68th birthday today. John Krasinski, man. Not only The Office, obviously tremendously successful there, but the Quiet Place films.
And Jack Ryan.
And Jack, I love
so
Jack
good.
Ryan.
Yeah, great. Two seasons.
And have
awesome.
Not heard anything about a third yet.
No.
Wish it would happen. And kudos to him. He's married to Emily Blunt, man. So 42 years old today. Dan Fogler, the actor... who I loved in Fanboys. He's the guy that drove the van, if you remember that.
He's great. He's in Balls of Fury.
The Goldbergs.
Right.
He had a turn in there. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Him. He's one of the main characters in that.
Is he one of the producers also on Only Deaths in the...
Only Murders in the Building?
Only Murders in the Building.
I don't know.
I think he might be. He's good friends with Adam Goldberg.
That's a good question.
It's not on his producing credits, Steve.
Huh.
Wait, Adam Goldberg has something to do with Only Murders in the Building?
No. But he's so they've you know, Adam Goldberg wrote the movie that it was in, and their professional career has been entwined for a long time.
He's been on the Goldbergs.
Yes,
Goldberg.
He plays the uncle.
So he is 45 today, and then the final birthday, director Danny Boyle.
Great,
he turns 65 years old today. So the main one I know is
Slumdog Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah. But 28 Days Later.
127
hours. 14 minutes.
Did you do the Beatles one? Did you do Yesterday?
Yes. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. Okay. I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie. It's a good movie.
65 today. All right, so we're looking for the answer to this stupid question.
Oh, and Trainspotting, Preston. That's probably what you're thinking of.
There you go. What culture considered baboons to be sacred and depicted a baboon named as the attendant of their god of wisdom? 215-263-WMMR. We will go to Dave and see if he knows the answer. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, bitches.
All right, bitch. Tell me the culture that had that baboon named Baba.
Ancient Egyptian religion.
You are correct. Yay! The Egyptians. Ancient Egyptians. So,
not current Egyptians.
Hang on the line, Dave. We are going to give you a pair of Pops, Rocks, ABBA, Mamma Mia tickets and more for Wednesday, November 17th at the Kimmel Center. And you can hear the Pops signature sound on the hits of one of the greatest selling bands of all time, ABBA. And you can get tickets at phillypops.org/WMMR. And Marissa will be introducing the show that night, which is really cool. All right, so we're going to start with a kind of a heavy story. Paris Hilton has become an advocate for teens that are placed in congregate care facilities by their parents. She shared her own story of abuse and trauma as a rebellious teen in the documentary This Is Paris. And in a Washington Post op-ed, she pushed President Joe Biden and Congress to take action. She said, "When I was 16 years old, I was awakened one night by two men with handcuffs. They asked if I wanted to go the easy way or the hard way before carrying me from my home as I screamed for help." She began, "I had no idea why or where I was being taken against my will. I soon learned that I was being sent to hell." She revealed that she was subjected to a parent-approved kidnapping and noted that it is a widespread practice across the United States. Hilton said that her parents, quote, fell for the misleading marketing of the troubled teen industry while they were searching for solutions to her rebellious behavior. She said, I was choked, slapped across the face, spied on while showering, and deprived of sleep. She added, I was called vulgar names and forced to take medication without a diagnosis. At one point, at one Utah facility, I was locked in solitary confinement in a room where the walls were covered in scratch marks and blood stains.
It sounds like a scared straight program for, you know,
for what,
privileged families.
A privileged teen.
Right, yeah.
A rebellious privileged teen.
Yeah.
I don't know how out of hand she was getting. I mean, listen, as a parent, I could see it being a complete nightmare because I do have connections to people who have had really bad rebellious teens. I mean, physically violent against them. And I, you know, you're at your wits' end.
What are you going to do? Yeah.
I don't know. But
I mean, listen,
they probably didn't know this was going on at the facility.
I would imagine.
I hope not.
Right?
I hope they didn't know.
Yeah.
How's that beating going?
I mean, for her sake and her relationship with her parents and...
Well, she seems good with them. So she probably... They probably did not. I mean, this is all supposition because I've never heard it confirmed whether or not they had or mm-hmm. had known about it. But they seem to be loving. Why would you knowingly subject your daughter at that age to this treatment? Yeah.
That's what she said. And then she said it was my parents fell for the misleading marketing.
Okay.
Right.
Trouble.
Okay. The brochure.
So.
All right. I feel bad for her hearing this. Know what I mean? As much as we've made fun of her and maybe that all played a part into why she acted the way she did.
Or at least a part of it. There are parts that you can hate, like some of the stuff.
Like, that's hot.
Yeah, that's hot.
The last time the federal government looked seriously at problems with congregate care was the 2008 Government Accountability Office report, Residential Programs Selected Cases of Death Abuse and Deceptive Marketing. Despite its finding that ineffective management and operating practices, in addition to untrained staff, contributed to death and abuse of youth, there are still no federal reporting requirements governing congregate care facilities and non-Medicaid-funded psychiatric residential treatment facilities.
I wonder how many of these facilities there are across the country.
She mentioned the death of someone named Cornelius Frederick, a 16-year-old in a Michigan facility, in what was deemed a homicide. So, Steve, I don't know how common this is, but she is making a point. She had a personal experience with it to try and get out there and get something done about it. So she's raising awareness on that. Queen Elizabeth II is Britain's longest lived and longest reigning monarch, but don't call her an oldie. The 95-year-old queen has politely declined the honor of being named Oldie of the Year.
Oh, she doesn't want that?
By a British magazine saying she does not meet the relevant criteria. Now, the magazine is called Oldie Magazine.
Oh, well, that's okay.
They published the Queen's response to its suggestion that she follow in the footsteps of former recipients, including former Prime Minister John Major, actor Olivia de Havilland, and artist David Hockney. A letter from her assistant private secretary sent to the magazine said, Her Majesty believes that you are as old as you feel. As such, the Queen does not believe that she meets the relevant criteria to be able to accept and hopes that you will find a more worthy recipient.
You!
It was signed with Her Majesty's warmest and best wishes.
I was watching her the other day. There was a clip of her doing some sort of royal... obligation, and she's moving through this room and she's handling everything at her age to be chugging along,
dude,
to be that sharp.
Yeah, 95.
Yeah.
Yes.
Much to Prince Charles's chagrin.
The Queen, who was widowed this year, still keeps a busy schedule of royal duties. On Tuesday, she held audiences with diplomats.
I'm doing alpaca yoga today.
And she hosted a reception at Windsor Castle for global business leaders. Billy Porter, there's some pretty dramatic stuff in this, horrific stuff in this story, guys. Billy Porter is free of shame, and his new memoir called Unprotected, the 52-year-old, shares the darker side to his seemingly picture-perfect life as star of FX's Pose and Kinky Boots on Broadway. He told USA Today he began unpacking the trauma he suffered, including his stepfather raping him as a boy.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, this
Holy
is...
Holy hell.
Some really bad stuff happened to this guy. Porter said in an interview with USA Today, I really, really, really have needed this past year to work on myself and try to become a better person. He wrote in his memoir of his stepfather, Bernie's abuse, he said, I split off from myself at 7 years old and began to experience myself as a grown effing man. I had no other choice. How was I to know that those sessions under the cloak of night with Bernie were wrong?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right? He shared his HIV positive status earlier this year in an interview with a Hollywood Reporter. He said of these revelations, I feel free in a way that I've never felt in my life, and that is free of shame that has been placed upon me since I was 5 years old.
How can that not F you up royally? Sadly, you hear lots of stories like that. You're a kid. At that age, you can't even remotely process what's going on.
No, you think that this is the way things are done, you know, and you find out later that you were horribly taken advantage of and hurt. So he's getting it out there in the open, which he says is therapeutic for himself. So that's a good thing. So Tori Spelling.
Yes.
Was spotted livid outside of an attorney's office and carrying a notepad. A notepad that showed a discussion about custody, support, and assets was on the agenda. So somebody saw this.
Hold on. How did they see that?
Kathy,
they
zoomed in. She was walking back and forth. It's across the street. She's walking back and forth with a legal pad and a binder.
Yep.
And she's walking back, and every time she turned around, the print was facing the photographer. They zoomed in and saw a list of assets and saw all the sort of things, terminology you would associate with a divorce.
I don't know why I'm, like, so sympathetic to these Hollywood stars today, but, like, I feel bad for her,
yes,
too. Like,
come
on. If she's going through a divorce and child custody, like, leave her alone.
Well, the handwritten reminder seemed to point to divorce amid rumors that she and Dean McDermott are headed for a split. So there's no official.
They've been putting forward a very we're still together. Other thing, but what possibly could it be about?
So the close-up shots of the notes reveal why she might be upset. An outline showed she listed, and here are the items: pig pen, get quote, AAA jumpstart van, and finally 3 p.m. lawyer, assets, support, custody. So McDermott was nowhere in sight. Last week he was spotted chatting up women at his kid's soccer game without his wedding ring on.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 5 children together.
So we're looking at the pictures now. And you can see right there, Kathy, they caught in her handwriting was on.
It's literally like a piece of paper in her hand. She's angry on the phone and they freaking zoomed in. Oh, my God.
So I'm watching this Brittany Murphy documentary, and they're interviewing.
It's good,
these,
right?
Yeah, they're interviewing these people from People Magazine and Radar Online who were assigned to go, investigate this stuff. And you know,
see similar stuff in the Britney Spears documentary.
Yes,
the Paps. Yeah.
So here's the deal: like, you know, somebody took that picture. Like, you know, like I don't know how those people live with themselves.
Go to bed at night?
Yeah.
Put the head on the pillow?
You know what? The money, though, that the sale of that picture, this series of pictures, you can't even imagine how much money that brings in.
So?
Yeah.
So what?
Like, I wonder how much they get for
If you're saying, I wonder how they do it, what? Well, there's an impetus at
there
least.
There are people that won't say, like, look, they're going to say, look, somebody's going to do it.
I know.
And somebody's going to make the money, so
I wonder why they're doing it.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah. Kate Beckinsale opened up about getting rushed to the hospital last month for a back injury on a late show with James Corden. She said, I was doing a very intense emotional drama and not running up walls or anything. I was in my hotel room putting on a pair of leggings, and it felt like a sort of guitar string snapped.
Ooh.
And everything was horrible. She said, I mean, worse than having a baby bad. I couldn't walk. I couldn't lie down. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't do anything. Actually, getting to the hospital was a drama. She said eventually an ambulance came, and they sort of rolled out a sheet and picked me up in it like a sort of sausage and put me on a gurney. But thankfully,
gurney's a fun word to say, isn't it?
It is. It's almost like gurning. But yeah. So listen, if you've ever had a really bad back pain,
Jesus, that's bad.
Man. So it was her back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somehow, you know, it's like one of those things. I was getting out of bed and I hurt myself. You know, I just moved the wrong way and bang, that's kind of what happened to her.
Well, I was getting out of bed one time and I immediately, like, when I stepped down, I immediately got like a Charlie horse.
Yeah.
It just sprawled on the floor.
What can
It's embarrassing.
What can really do damage is reaching for something.
Yes.
You know, like reaching for something behind you, or, you know, like you just, you have no idea what sort of strain you're putting on your spine.
Oh, yeah. Or a weird position that, you know, that one of your nerves is up against the
freaking nerves.
And, oh, man, freaking nerves. Freaking nerves.
Freaking nerves. Turn around to try to touch something. You don't even look at it. Suddenly your back goes out.
Alyssa Milano was arrested yesterday.
Right.
Voting rights protest at the White House. On a tweet on Tuesday, the 48-year-old charmed star said she was arrested for demanding the Biden administration and Senate use their mandate to protect voting rights. She was demonstrating with the organization People for the American Way. The nonprofit was founded by television producer Norman Lear in 1980. The group's president, Ben Jealous.
Ben Jealous?
Yeah, right?
Didn't he write the Chariots of Fire theme?
Ben Jealous? I don't know.
Oh, no, that's Vangelis. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And
was also arrested during the protest. It was a very famous song.
It was a piece of music. We use it all the time.
I didn't know it, but it's a very famous piece of music.
That's Ben Jealous.
It's Vangelis?
Oh, Vangelis, yes.
Vangelis. So Ben Jealous was arrested, too.
Do you think she gets upset if they don't recognize her when they arrest her?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. She's in charm, man.
So the progressive advocacy organization...
Who's the boss?
...says that it's trying fight right-wing extremism and build a democratic society that implements the ideals of freedom, equality, opportunity, and justice for all. The Senate is likely going to start voting on the Freedom to Vote Act on Wednesday. So she was there. Well, that's today. She was there to protest that, got arrested. So I don't know about her getting bailed out or anything. I'm sure she's doing just
probably doing hard time.
Fine. Taraji P. Henson covered women's health and inside opened up about a stomach issue that called her to vomit uncontrollably.
Oh, man.
Wow.
She said she realized, quote, I had to do everything I could to feel good or that depression thing was going to get the best of me.
My tummy hurts.
And after changing her diet and addressing her depression, she said she's much better now. She said, I want people to know that it's never too late for anything. You can get your health together and live out your wildest dreams.
She's in that Muppet Haunted special.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. She's very good.
She's wearing a very sexy outfit on the cover of Women's Health, where you can see her legs are completely exposed, but she's wearing like this sweater. And Nick just pulled up the picture of it. So she's on the cover of Women's Health.
Did they say if she gave up anything? What particular food she might have given up?
Not in this snippet that I have. I'm sure they go into the detail of whatever diet thing that she bailed on. But maybe she had to do a thing like Kathy, you know, an elimination diet.
Yeah.
And eventually find out what's giving you trouble.
It's great. It's so fun.
Isn't it fun?
It's really fun, not eating.
Did you start with pork rinds?
I don't think I've ever even had that.
When you're sitting there in the doctor's office eating pork rinds, right? You'll probably target that first.
It's like, you know what?
Bad first step.
Let's eliminate that.
Take that bag away from
me. I used to love those when I was a kid, so I lived in the South for a while.
Were they like legit pork rinds? And like,
Yeah.
Not out of the bag or whatever.
Well, those two, but I mean, now I think back about that, I'm like, ew.
I mean,
it wouldn't taste like, I wouldn't put it in my mouth and go, oh, this is gross. I'd be like, why am I eating this fried skin?
Man, you know, these possum scrotes are great.
Right?
Yeah.
Listen, you go to any convenience store around here, they're selling bags of pork rinds. Sure. I've never had one.
Really?
Do they taste good? What's the consistency like?
I used to love them. And the consistency, actually, it's crunchy, yet it kind of quickly dissolves in your mouth. It's
almost like a Funyun?
Yes.
Like an overcooked Eucharist.
Similar to that. Like a Funyun kind of. Hold on. Marissa is commenting on pork rinds. What's up?
Because, you know, they make everything vegetarian. I saw vegetarian pork rinds.
Shut up.
Come on. Pork rinds?
Beyond pork rinds.
I'm pretty sure they're just like barbecue chips.
Okay, maybe.
Would that be kind of similar?
You can get barbecued flavored pork rinds or you get au naturel.
Like, I can't believe it's not pork rinds?
Right.
I love everything barbecue. Oh, I'm sorry. I love everything that's like pork turned rind. Vegetarian because it's just a taste usually that I've never tried before.
Oh.
These grossed me out.
Okay.
I was like, this is too much.
All right. I could see that.
And with this whole like elimination diet, I'm basically eating vegan. You know, I'm not eating too much. But, and it bothers me the names that they put on things. Like, actually, we're going to the Hall of Fame, the Radio Hall of Fame ceremony, and there were options. And they called it a cauliflower steak.
Yes.
So I'm like, I don't understand.
What, I know.
Is it like fake meat or is it just cauliflower. Like, because if it's fake meat, I don't want it. If it's cauliflower, it just looks like a steak, I'll take it.
Yeah, Marissa?
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a piece of cauliflower, like, cut down the center of it.
Like, the whole, like, half
so
the head.
So it'll look like a slab.
But yeah, why do they put steak on it? What the hell? Stop it.
To make you think you're eating a steak.
Yeah, yeah, to give you an idea that it's an entree.
Yeah.
Because you think of cauliflower as a side dish. So maybe they just throw steak on there because it'll be in that shape.
Why don't they just say cauliflower entree?
Because I agree.
It's like when they serve you liver, but they call it a liver shake.
If they add steak, they can charge more.
Yeah.
Casey, do you remember the fire-roasted cauliflower we had in Florida at Charlie's?
I think about it every day.
It was so good. It was so good. It had like this chili sauce on it.
Yes.
And they fire-roasted.
We want you back here.
Yeah. In fact, I think I remember you saying, after you took a bite, I think I remember hearing you saying,
mm-mm-mm.
Yeah.
Oh, that and apples.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Like, it's just an apple. Is it really that good?
The Honeycrisp, man. It's so sweet and tasty.
Is this hand-shucked?
Oh, is this hand-shucked?
Anyway, Taraji P. Henson.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on.
Cauliflower steak.
To another story. Let's see here. Following the news that her ex, Travis Barker, asked Kourtney Kardashian to marry him and their kids rejoiced on social media, Shanna Mokler shared a story on Instagram that read, "Temporarily closed for spiritual maintenance." And later she deleted images of her kids from her account.
Wow.
Because I guess they're happy about their dad.
That's kind of aggressive.
Getting together.
That's passive aggressive.
Getting together with Kourtney. So, I don't know what the story is there. That's a whole weird dynamic. All of that. And like you said the other day, Steve, the daughter, I don't know, I guess that's Alabama.
Yeah, she's 15, but she acts like she's 30.
In a very
uncomfortably provocative way.
Very much so. Yeah. And I don't know.
Alabama!
I don't know. You'd think they would have something to say about that with her. Maybe they have. I do not know. All right, this is messed up, and I normally don't. There's been so many seasons of a Survivor that the contestants are like, who is it?
Who cares?
There's hundreds of them.
So, unless it's Jervis, I don't want to know.
But this is messed up. So Survivor Fiji contestant Michelle Yee was stabbed and beaten with a metal baton Thursday morning in Santa Monica. Police say that her alleged attacker had targeted two other people as well.
Yeah, I saw this.
She told people, "My face split open, blood was everywhere."
Oh, my God.
Was it a homeless person, you said?
I don't know. Okay, no, I didn't say. So, Lieutenant Rudy Flores, a spokesperson for the Santa Monica Police Department, said, "When we arrived, the suspect was still on the scene. The officers took her into custody, interviewed the victims and witnesses. Yee was taken to the hospital, received stitches to her face, and was released." So, yeah, Steve, I don't know the details on the person who attacked her or why. It sounds from just that little bit I read that it was fairly random.
Isn't it wild that you can send them to an island so they can survive, but the toughest place to survive is their own home?
Santa Monica.
Yeah, Santa Monica.
It's nuts. Well, Nicole Kidman and Javier Bardem embody Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz for the first teaser for Being the Ricardos, which tells the story of the I Love Lucy stars, who married in 1940 and split 20 years later. Kidman's Lucille Ball marvels in a voiceover saying, "I get paid a fortune to do exactly what I love doing." Now, I haven't seen it yet.
I watched it this morning. They only show her briefly. They show her replicating that crushing the grapes scene from the classic series in black and white. You don't see her ever really fully for that long. Javier Bardem as Desi Arnaz, you see much more. But it's her talking. It's her talking about her power and basically saying that the whole reason she did I Love Lucy was to spend more time with Desi Arnaz.
No kidding.
Who she adored, but he had a wandering eye.
Yeah, he was a bit of a stud back in the day. So, so that's coming out down the road. I am interested in seeing that. Harry Styles is doubling down on his move into Hollywood after being cast in now girlfriend Olivia Wilde's film Don't Worry, Darling. Styles seems increasingly serious about acting. He will also reportedly be making an appearance in the new Marvel film, The Eternals, as Thanos' brother, Eros.
I thought his brother was Chuck.
Thanos,
Chuck Thanos.
No.
Chuck Thanos?
I guess Thanos' brother, Eros, is allegedly a womanizer.
Okay, I started to read a little bit about this. He's actually good. He was in Dunkirk.
Yeah.
And he did a good job.
Yeah. All right, and then...
I'm just wondering if, like, Thanos' brother is going to look like Thanos. Like,
or, like, totally different.
Yeah.
Like the stud.
Like, does everybody on Titan look the same, and Thanos is just, like, a bigger, you know...
Yeah, I don't know.
...version of everybody
it's
else?
My brother.
Hey, bro.
He's better looking.
Yeah.
Hey, man! Yeah. You are so purple!
Yeah. By the way, I was watching Endgame the other day. Josh Brolin is so good.
He's great.
Yeah. There's a scene where he's like, you know, this one time, you know, all the destruction I've created this one time, I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enjoy it very, very much. Yes. And just the way he says that.
Yeah.
Wow. And I know it's CGI, but man, do they capture his emotion in his face. It's incredible.
That's a time where you don't, have to remind yourself that you're watching a CGI character. There are other times when you have to try to forget you're watching a CGI.
It's still acting.
Yeah,
you know,
what's happening
up on the screen right there, that's acting.
Oh, and they have, I mean, they have the cameras on his face as he's doing it.
Yep. All right, we're going to jump right over to the clips. So, classic American poet Emily Dickinson's life story is told in the comedy series Dickinson, and here Haley Steinfeld talks about the oddities of working on a historically accurate show. Here we go.
There's something about doing a period piece that you're sort of instantly launched into the world just by, well, the wardrobe, the props, the absence of technology, and you can kind of immerse yourself into this world and feel disconnected but connected where you are.
She is so pretty.
Yeah.
She's going to be in the Hawkeye movie.
Yes, the series, which is coming up right before Thanksgiving. And from what I understand, this series is a little bit anachronistic. Like, it's like Bridgerton, where they have things that are contemporary mixed in as well.
Okay. It says it's a comedy series is what it says in this description. So the third and final season of Dickinson premieres November 5th on Apple Plus. So they've been doing it. This is the third season.
Yes.
I had no idea.
You've been enjoying every one of them.
Here's the next clip. A new generation takes up the mantle of the iconic team in Ghostbusters Afterlife. And here Paul Rudd discusses what parts of the film attracted him to the role.
I remember when Jason sent me the script, and the only thing I thought was, oh, wow, this is the perfect way to tell this specific story. And so this specific story certainly works with everybody involved. I just kind of was knocked out by the story in and of itself.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters Afterlife is in theaters on November 19th, by the way.
So there are apparently cameos from the original, those that are still alive, for this movie. And I'll be curious to see how they weave them in, because it's really a wholly different story.
Yeah. So that's coming up. We'll be able to check that out. And that is all I have in the entertainment report for you this morning, friends. Speaking of movies, we do have a chance for you in Suicide Squad on digital. You can text. It's for a secret text word, by the way. Text word 39333 and for a chance to win that. And by the way, you can own it now in digital and 4K Ultra HD. So get that texting out of the way, because by the time 8 rolls around, you're going to have your fingers free, because we'll have the money clip opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
And before we do that, we will go on Fox Good Day this morning. Tom Papa's on the show. We got other guests, too. I'll tell you about all that stuff. We'll take a break and come back in just a moment with it all. So stay down.
We are very, very happy this morning.
Get your share of MMR's Money Clips cash.
Explain why, please.
Because I just won $500.
You can win $500 just for entering a keyword.
I know why you're calling.
Why? Why?
And wind up in one of these promos.
Because I just won $500.
Kazamba zuba laba kakatopa toda.
Get all the details at WMMR.com.
So how's it feel to have $500 more in your pocket?
Oh, it feels great. This couldn't come at a more perfect time.
MMR's Money Clips.
Why are you so excited?
Because I won.
$500.
I know. That's awesome.
Sponsored by Horizon Services. Heating, cooling, and plumbing. Visit horizonservices.com.
93.3 WMMR.
Everything that rocks your wallet.
Woo!
Don't forget, Bud Light Thursday night kickoff is happening tomorrow night. Nick will be at the Horse Tavern and Grill. We'll do some giveaways in a little while. They're dropping off some food this morning and some gift cards to give to you. Secret text word. We have the Suicide Squad on digital for you to win. And of course, we have the money clips about 40 minutes away. So
nice.
Listen up for your chance to win. Okay, big topic for the day. the whole Ben Simmons thing, and Kathy, and we're gonna chat a little bit about this, but I do want to cover this because Kathy talked about it in the news. Casey said something about Joel Embiid's response,
right?
Where he said, "I don't care about that man,"
mm-hmm.
And you were thinking maybe he was referencing, "Hey, I don't care about that comma man." He does whatever he wants to do. But upon listening to it a little bit, we're not going to sit here and just dissect this.
No.
We're going to cover this real quick. He might be saying, I don't care about him. I don't care about that guy.
Yeah. That's what I kind of thought.
Let me play it before you dive in. Here we go.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants.
I've seen it transcribed a number of times in headlines, and there's no comma.
Okay.
I don't care about that man. So a lot of people have that take.
I think what's important is context, so I need to understand. I need to know what the question was, right? So whatever the question is, that will for me help determine whether or not
asking about Ben, about him in particular, or about the fact that he doesn't want to be a part of the practice.
So the report was that he was attacking. You know, he was kind of going at Ben Simmons.
Well, because the stuff he says after is clearly in response to Ben Simmons.
No doubt. But if the question was about a situation, then he's saying, I don't care about that, man. Question is about the person, then he goes, I don't care about that man.
Well, I don't care about that man. What I care about is this, the topic at hand. And rather than going into the politics of basketball and all that stuff. So something different I thought of. Ben Simmons refused to be a part of the team practice or was refusing to do some drills. So they sent him home.
Yeah.
And what I'm curious about is, have you ever been sent home from your job?
Like kicked out of the job?
Yeah, like get out of here.
Go.
I have.
Really?
Okay, it happened.
I don't want to hear about that.
One time in my career, not in my radio career. And I've seen it happen actually in my radio career before, which is kind of interesting, which is, you know, look, dude, you're just leave.
Yeah.
Just get out of
here.
You know, not being fired.
Right.
But being sent home because you're being a distraction or.
Go collect yourself.
We can't deal with you today. And so I want to see if there are any people listening who may have had that type of situation. 215-263-WMMR. So my story happened. I was working at this little Greasy Spoon pub called Pennyworth's.
Oh, as Alfred Pennyworth.
And I was, how old was I? I was probably 19 years old, something like that. And so my friend Chet and I worked in the back room, and it was a lunch rush, and it was one of the first lunch rushes. I normally worked weekends, but it was during the week. And so the job that I was taking for that particular shift was what we called the expediter. Okay, so you had...
That sounds cool.
Yeah, the people that were cooking... then the expediter would take the food that was cooked and then put it together in the proper order. So we had these little, what we call boats,
right?
Which is, you know, it's a little basket, and you put your sandwich and your chips and your fries and all that stuff in there. So
you're the expediter.
I'm reading the order from the server. It says, okay, we have this, that, and that are going out in this order. So what I would do is I would put the order together, put it on a tray, and go, here you go, and expedite it and send it out to the server, and they would take it off. So that was my job. While we're doing it was very and lunch rush, the orders are flying in.
Crazy, right?
So while that's going on, I'm talking to Chet, who was trying to cook, and I'm talking about this party that happened the night before or what was going on this weekend, all the social stuff, stupid stuff, teenage stuff,
right?
About what was going on. Dude, she said this and blah, 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 and I can't believe they so and so. I'm doing this, and I'm messing up orders left and right.
Oh, no.
Okay. It was my fault.
Yeah.
The manager had every right in the world to send me out of there. And he was like, dude, you stop talking about this stuff.
Right.
Just focus on what's going on here at work today. We got a ton of people out here. We got to take, blah, 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 whatever. And I just kept going and going and talking.
And orders are going out wrong.
Finally, he comes in the middle of a rush. He's like, he just goes, get out of here.
Yeah.
Leave.
Wow.
You're done for the day. It's like in the military movies like, you're relieved.
Right.
In the Navy. And I was like, oh, screw you, man. I'm out of here.
Did you quit at this that
time? I did afterwards.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I quit. And I talked Chet into quitting, too.
Oh, man.
But later that day, he went back and asked for his job back.
Okay.
But I was told to leave. You know, like Ben Simmons, go home. So we don't need you here.
You went home and then you thought about it and quit. But did you come back? You didn't work any time after that.
No, I was done.
Okay,
guy was a dick anyway. Listen, yeah. It was my fault.
Right, you owned it.
I did not like working for him. His name was Hoppy. I'll never forget him. But yeah, I did not like him. He was not nice to his employees. No. I just needed a place to work, and I was doing it, and I could find another job elsewhere.
Yeah,
but I was definitely sent home.
Well, go ahead, again.
I have so many stories about this girl, but just like Arani saying, in college, she worked at a country club, and she didn't have a car, and I remember I drove her a couple of times to work, and it was like the night after we had gone out and had been out all night.
It seems to be like a similar to Preston's story.
Right? Yeah. So she had to wear a white shirt, black pants, you know, a little apron, whatever. So I drop her off at work. She goes in. It's not ironed. It's completely wrinkled. Like, you know, she woke up. It probably pulled it out of a ball on her floor from the day before. Like, it hadn't been washed. And I forget exactly what happened, but somehow she was doing, like, the mustard and ketchup, and she had opened the bottle, and it just went all over her white shirt. Oh, so now she's wrinkled, has stuff all over her shirt. She tries to clean it up. It's smeared into the shirt. And she said, the manager just looked at her and went, go home.
Wow.
And she was like, I could work in the back. And he was like, no, go home. And so she called me and she's like, are you still in the car? Can you come back and get me? I had to drive back and pick her up. He sent her home.
We don't want you here now.
We don't want
you're not
you
being
here.
Fired, but you must leave.
And then in radio, I saw it happen one time. There was a guy that used to work at Y100. I don't mind naming people right now, but his name was John Castino. Do you remember John?
I do. John was very talented.
John did nights at WMMR back in the day, but he was also what was called our imaging director. And so all of the produced promos that you hear about, you know, weekend events and things like that, that was his job.
At MMR or
Y100? No, it was at Y100.
Y100.
Okay. And it was Doug Kabinski.
Doug.
Nicest guy in the world.
Nicest guy.
Overly friendly, just the sweetest guy. He was our assistant program director, and I hear out of Doug's office, I hear, just go home. Get the F out of here. So whatever John did pushed, like, the nicest guy in the world to the level to scream, get the F out of here.
Right.
And he sent him home. And I was like, whoa.
Did he see you when he walked out of the office?
No, I didn't make eye contact with John. But I just heard Doug, and I was like, whoa, what was that all about? And he was just like, this dude just has a horrible attitude, and I had to send him home. He was bitching and complaining and wouldn't shut up. And he's like, we can't have you here today.
That is wild.
You're not fired. Leave. Just get out of here. We have to work today, and we're not going to be able to do it with you around.
You came close during one of the drunk days. And Casey, do you remember?
I got kicked out of the studio.
Out of the studio.
Get out.
Listen, had no control. It was close to Preston, but I mean, at a certain point, you might have done that because if you were kept cursing on air, we couldn't have kept you in the studio.
Yeah,
you didn't. You collected yourself.
Yeah. No, I
didn't. I was like your dad. Yeah. I mean, like,
you were like, get out of
that. That's it. Get out now. Yeah.
I mean it.
All right, so Ben Simmons got sent home from work. Of course, his paycheck is probably slightly higher than yours is.
Not this week.
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah, he's like 300 some odd grand he's not going to make, right?
He got fined, and he's not paid for practice yesterday and won't get paid for the game tonight.
All right. Let me go to some calls, though, of people who have been sent home from work. I'm going to go to Kenny. Hey, Kenny.
Oh, Baba. Hey, Baba.
The question earlier this morning. All right, Kenny, what's up, man?
I really wanted to say, Angorski, but it's too many syllables.
Angorski,
All right, so I got to set this up. So this crazy guy, it was my first day on a construction site, and my foreman, he was one of those guys where one eye kind of went to the right and one eye kind of went to the left.
Okay. Only when he would get mad, or was it all the time?
No, all the time. Okay. And we called him Googly-Eyed Tony.
Okay.
So you're trying to make him feel comfortable.
Yeah.
He also had a cigarette that would always bob out the side of his mouth all the time, always lit, sometimes not lit. It always depended.
Okay.
So we're on the job site my first day, and a project manager said, hey, excuse me, if you could just put your hard hats on, like, quick grab mine, put it on. And he looks at him and goes, F off. I just look at the project manager. I go, I don't even know this guy, man. Like, don't tell my boss. He's like, dude, seriously, just put your project manager on or put your hard hat on. My boss, the project manager's boss, is coming on the site. Like, you need to put it on or you got to get out of here. He goes, F off again. And I was like, all right, well, this isn't going to be good. He's like, all right, well, you can just take a hike. And we went back to the shop. My boss chewed him a new a-hole. And I was just like, the project manager was like, dude, this guy could be a crackhead for all I know. It's my first day here. Like, I don't know anything about
this guy. Yeah, yeah. And so you guys were all sent off the site because of what this guy was doing? Oh, Kenny?
Off the site.
All right. Yeah, okay. I think that's the case. Wow.
I bet you that happens fairly often. If you're sent out to a site or you're not like in an office situation where you're sent home.
Right.
But if you show up and you're providing a service at some place and they say, get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me go to Frank. Hey, Frank, good morning.
Gadzooks,
buddy. What's up?
So I was a bartender at this restaurant, and they're short-staffed, so they asked me, do you mind waiting some tables? So I say, okay. So I'm basically just taking tables in different people's sections. I don't have one section. I'm just all around the restaurant. This one table in particular is kind of out of the way of all my other tables. So I go and take their order, and we're real backed up. It's a Saturday. So I grab their soup, and you don't have to ring soup in. So I bring their soup. I bring it to them. And then I completely forget about them. For 40 minutes, I never ring in their order.
Ooh.
And I walk back there, and I realize them, and I go, oh, my God, I never rung in their order. So I try to do the nice thing, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to take responsibility for this.
Right.
I walk up to them. I go, listen. I explain the situation to them. They're these two sweet little old people. I'm like, no way. They're going to yell at me and make a scene. No. Yeah, they flipped their absolute F. Like, they were like, we've been sitting here for 40 minutes. You never put it in an order. Oh, my God. I was in the war. And I was like, oh.
Wow, I was in the war. Oh, man.
This guy's, like, having flashbacks because he didn't get a steak. So he stands in the middle of the restaurant and goes, if he's here in the next 10 minutes, I won't be. And apparently he's the president because they kicked me out instead of him.
Wow.
They sent you home.
He hardlined you and they sent you home.
Wow. Yep, they were just like, Frank, you got to go. This guy was in the war.
This guy was in the war.
So that wasn't even your job, man.
I know. I'm filling in. Like, you know what? Forget them. That's why I was
There you go.
All right.
It's like that scene in Fast Times, Preston, where the guy has to take a bathroom break. So he goes out, mans the counter. The guy's complaining about not getting his money back for his breakfast special.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets thrown out.
Uh-huh. Yep. Let me go next to, let's see. I will go to Frank. Hey, Frank, good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's your story, Frank?
Well, I used to work at this popular New York bagel shop. And I used to work with a bunch of drug addicts and thieves. Well, the till ended up showing up like about $80 short one morning, and the boss knew who stole the money, but he called us all up and was like, "Hey, listen, who stole the money?" And no one wanted to fess up to it, so he points me out, you know, and says, "Hey, look, I'm sending you home." Like, what? I didn't steal the money.
Right.
You know I didn't steal the money. Why are you sending me home? Well, I got to set an example.
What? That makes no sense.
What?
Yeah.
You're sending me home? Your star player? You're sending me home?
Your star player.
You're non-drug addict?
So what'd you end up...
Non-drug addict who's worked for him for 4 years and has never caused any problems. It was opened and closed his store for him 18 times, and he's sending me home as an example.
Yeah, oh that God. Makes no sense. No. Probably. So you no longer work there, obviously. So,
no.
What'd you do there. That day? Did you just go home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? Yeah. How do you clip $80 out of a place that sells bagels? Like it's not like. You know, a shirt here or there or something. You know, how much product has to be moved for $80 to end up in the register? So it's a lot more obvious, isn't it?
Well, believe it or not, out of that one store, we used to do about $2,000 a day.
All right. It's pretty heavy duty.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. Glad you were used as an example.
I'm going to make you an example.
Let's go to Joe. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, Joe, what's up?
So I was the one actually told somebody that they couldn't work for the rest of the day.
Ah, okay. What was the story?
So we meet at the office in the morning. I work construction, well, my old job. But this kid was about 2 weeks fresh on the job. So we meet at the office, hour and a half driving to Brooklyn. So we get to the job. I keep telling the kid, put your phone away, put your phone away, put your phone away. But he's on Instagram constantly. So I'm like, you know what? You won't put your phone away. You don't listen. Leave.
Yeah.
He's like, we're half away from the office. I don't even have my, you know, I don't have my car. I was like, I don't care. I was like, I told you a million times. So I was like, you can go sit in the van for all I care.
Nice.
So I made the kid go sit in the van for 6.5 hours.
Dude, did. That's pretty awesome.
I love that.
You were being a dad.
You know what he did? He stayed on Instagram.
Yeah, you're right.
Six and a half hours of scrolling.
Yeah, you want to be on your phone here? Six and a half hours. Just stay on your phone the whole time. Go ahead. Wow. So did he end up keeping his job? Did he come around after that?
No, about 2 weeks later, it got to the point where the kid was mouthy, and I said something, and he tried to fight me. So then I had to physically take him off the job anyway.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Nice. All right, thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. Some texts coming in. This one says, I'm a supervisor for union employees. I've sent people home for arguing with each other, not following a work rule, working unsafely, being late, etc., and it's kind of that or two suspensions, he says.
I've heard of places that are wildly strict where you show up late and you're immediately sent, you know, 5 minutes, you're sent home. You're not working today.
This says, I got sent home and got written up for being on the air too much with you guys. My boss was a Preston and Steve fan. I assume that's Heather who's on the line here real quick. We know who Heather is. Hi, Heather. Good morning.
It's just that you look so nice.
Yes.
Nice. All right. So you call into the show from time to time, and apparently that you got found out because of that?
Yes. This was back in 06, and my boss, little did I know, was a Preston and Steve fan. So the first time I was, and I remember this, the first time I was on the air when he heard me, it was about misheard lyrics, and of course, me being a Zeppelin fan,
right,
and he put two and two together, and it was me. Then I think the second time was about Go Get Your Shine Box, about Goodfellas, and then I think I won something from you guys, probably the lesson question.
So the boss is hearing you systematically over and over again on the air with us.
But this was over, like, a long period of time. So
okay.
Basically, the first time he's like, you know, I'm really, you know, thinking you should have a career in radio. And the second time he was like, I'm sick of hearing you on the radio. And the third time, because I thought he was out of town, he wrote me up and he said, all right, you can go for the rest of the day. And I didn't even have a job where I interacted with patients. Right. I was medical records. You know, I listen to music all day, and it helps with the workflow. So, yeah, that's what happened.
And there you go. It got sent home. Well, listen, you're on to bigger and better things now, and you can call us anytime you want.
Nice.
That's right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Have a good one. See ya. I actually saw this is not exactly what we're talking about, but BuzzFeed had this list they had put out there. Somebody had said, what is the most ridiculous reason you got in trouble?
Right.
Work. Okay. So there was the person who started it said that I was accused of being disrespectful because the six people I CC'd on an email weren't listed in order of seniority.
Okay.
What? Oh. Come on.
Uh-huh.
So stupid.
Oh, there was a time I was with some of my coworkers. This is way back when I first started at Y100 in New York. The program director, Preston, calls in the morning show at the time and starts screaming at them, but the door is open. And these offices are like one door to one office is the door to the next office.
Right.
Like right by each, and it's a narrow hallway, screaming. We're in our office, which is next door with our door open. He comes over and starts yelling at us. We got in trouble for listening. How could you not?
I know. It's ridiculous, man. Here's another one. It says, today I got in trouble for evacuating with other staff out of a building when the fire alarm went off. And apparently I should have known better that it was a false alarm. So I got in trouble for following the rules of an alarm. This one says that, I love this one. I was told off for using a word in a report that my boss didn't know. The word was minutia. And I asked her to give me a list of all the words she doesn't know so that it wouldn't happen again.
Oh, that's great. That's great. God.
Yeah, that's a good one. How are you supposed to know, by the way? She's not going to know the word.
Totally. Yes. Here's another one. These are ridiculous reasons you got in trouble at work. I got in trouble because my boss kept getting solicited by outside sales and service cold calls, and she thought that I should be receiving them instead. Sure, let me figure out how. Let me figure out who might call us someday and update the contact list immediately.
By the way, in case you're going to call me for the warranty on my car, call me directly.
This one says, my partner missed a court appearance and told everyone that it was my fault because I never told him about it. He did this by replying all to the three-month-old email where I told him about it.
Oh, I love when it's someone else's fault when you do something wrong.
Oh, yeah, totally. This one's another reason I got in trouble at work. My first job out of college, I got chastised for not staying late regularly. When I pointed out I came in early every day, they responded, it didn't count because nobody saw it.
Okay.
For not staying late regularly, I've kind of gotten that little suggestion before of, wow, you kind of take off right away, don't you? Well, yes, I'm done working for the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. that's a weird one, especially if you've put it, you didn't take your lunch, you're doing your deal. That's a weird one to argue through, though.
This one says, I got in trouble. The head of my department got mad that I sent an email about planning a team Halloween costume for the company costume competition and subsequently made a rule that all team-wide emails needed to be approved by her before sending. Our team was about 10 people, they said. So here's another one. It says, in an annual review, it said that we were, quote, not allowed to criticize you for this, so it's not really a complaint, but we notice that you really do like your 9-to-5s. So I guess they're thinking, you know, if you're not working enough.
Oh, okay, you know? Yeah. I've worked well past, my time throughout my career, so that doesn't even register with me.
Here's a ridiculous one. It says, I got devoured for multiplying numbers in my head instead of using a calculator because I was, quote, showing off.
Seriously?
What?
That's so stupid.
Oh, my God. All right, let me get some other calls here. Let me see. Oh, we got to wrap it up, Case?
Yeah, we're going to go on Fox Good Day in a bit.
Oh, yeah, we do have to take a break. I'm sorry, those of you guys who are on hold, we're going on Fox Good Day in just a moment, and we also have to make sure that we're on time for the MMR money clip, so apologies for not going to your call, but thank you for buzzing in. We do appreciate it. We are going to have Tom Papa on the show.
Yep.
We are going to have Danica McKellar on the program, and right now, I have a $25 gift card for call number 17 for the Horse Tavern and Grill.
Nice.
215-263-WMMR. Now, join Nick there tomorrow night from 7 to 9 because you can win a pair of tickets to watch the Birds take on the Saints November 21st and also a signed Alex Singleton jersey courtesy of Bud Light. Click on events at WMMR.com for the details. Call number 17. We'll give you the gift card. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. It's fancy. No, it's...
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Not fancy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
93.3 WMMR, we're live on Fox Good Day right now.
Hey!
Hi.
Let's ask Preston and Steve that very question. I posed this to our
audience here. Yes. Say, of the two men that you see on the screen, Preston or Steve, who would do this with their wife, wear matching Halloween costumes? Who is it?
Oh, it'd probably be me.
Yeah.
I think it would be me. I don't think Steve would be a part of that.
I've done it once or twice with my wife, but I tend to veer towards things that are not like, hey, we'll go as a prince and a princess. Hey, I'll go as some sort of horrendous creature, and she doesn't like the stuff that I'm into Halloween-wise.
We've done it a few times. Prince Charming and Cinderella.
See?
One year, that was at the M. Night Shyamalan Shyamalan event. We did... I went as a neighborhood thing. It was I was Richard Simmons, and she was a workout gal, right. Sweating to the oldies.
Very creative. They do a good job.
The one that I want to do, absolutely, and we have to find a party that we're going to go to and make the costume, but I would like to be the Wonder Twins. I think that would be awesome from the old
the cartoon? Justice League. Yes, the cartoon. Yeah, it'd be great.
Wonder Twins, activate. You guys remember that at all?
By your silence, I
guess no.
No, they do not. They do not.
I don't.
Okay, you know, but anyhow, Alex, it'd be fun.
You and I should go as Preston and Steve.
Who's going to shave their head?
Alex?
Alex?
Oh, it's got to be me. Really?
Absolutely. I think it'd be adorable.
Do you have pictures of what you just talked about on your website?
Preston, do you? I'm sure we do, right?
Probably. We'll see if we can get some over to you guys. I definitely have them on my phone.
Here's what my last year's costume was. It was that. So
yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty intense.
Oh, that's
so
really
my wife doesn't want to do anything like that. So I mean, and I respect that.
I do like a really good couple's costume, though.
Me
I think
too.
That it can be a lot of fun. If they put some effort into it, and that can be a good time.
You always have to. Some people always pick somebody topical, though. That's a big issue, and sometimes that's the big decision down to the wire. And we're just right up on it. You have to really make it work. You have to pick it well out in advance.
Yeah,
and you got to own it. You got to own it too. When I did do the Richard Simmons thing, we were going over to some friends' houses. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna play the part, and I came in and I'm like, hey everybody, let's go! And I was that way all night long.
All night,
and we won the costume contest. Thank you very much.
Your Ronald Reagan was exceptional,
right?
Mike, would you ever? Because Mike and people always ask us this on the show. He hates matching. So if we ever match, it's always a coincidence. It's never on purpose.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he could even stomach having the same. If you can't wear the same color as someone, I can't imagine you wearing a costume.
Yeah, I don't want to do it.
Wow, now what a diva!
Yeah, right. I kind of feel what Mike is. You don't want to. That's not my thing either. Some people love it. That's great, but
like
I don't.
Some people wear.
You guys are literally matching this morning.
Matching
you and
brown
Preston.
Shirts.
Yeah, matching.
Oh,
brown.
There you go.
Didn't even notice.
All right.
Yeah, they are kind of similar.
A
little more gray.
Sometimes we have worn shirts or the same shirt that we've been given promotionally, and we'll do the Us Magazine Who Wore It Best.
the way, Marissa just said they're tweeting. She's tweeting out a link now of me and my costumes, I guess.
You know, when you did that was great. You did Dog the Bounty Hunter and his wife
and
at the
Beth,
time, who since passed away. That was the home run.
Dog and Beth was the best one we ever did, I think. Yeah. You got to see that.
Good
one.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my. There it is. Oh, my God.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We have it on the screen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
These are good.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you later, guys. Bye-bye. Yeah, I forgot about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
No problem.
That was definitely the best we did. All right. So, you know what? If I wait 10 more seconds.
Yeah, you have to, man.
I'll be right on the money. And speaking of money, money clip is what I'm talking about. And that is right now.
93.3 WMMR. It's time for an MMR money clip.
Whee! That's what I get to do.
Now, here's your money clip keyword.
All right, you get to win money, and the keyword is slam, S-L-A-M. We will give you until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. Three ways for you to do that. You can text it to the special contest short code number, which is 45911, or to also be entered for the $10,000 grand prize. Enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. And one random entry wins $500 in this company-wide contest. And that person will get a call from Beasley. Make sure that you answer your phone. Contest rules available at WMMR.com. And it is sponsored by Horizon Services. So let me give you that word again. It is slam. Come and get it because we're on the home stretch. It wraps up on Friday. Let's take a look at NJM Insurance Group traffic, see what we have happening. Kathy, what's up this morning?
A disabled vehicle on the Schuylkill Expressway eastbound has a jam from Mall Boulevard to 202. The left lane is blocked. Also eastbound, we are backing up from the boulevard all the way into University. There was an accident. It's now cleared westbound. Side jams from Passyunk to University, the boulevard to Gladwin, and then again at 202. Right lane closed with that sinkhole repair work. 95 southbound jams Cotman to Bridge, Aramingo to Allegheny, the Vine westbound slowing 95 to Broad Street, the Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill, and then eastbound from the Schuylkill to Broad. North 95 backing up from 452 to the Blue Route, the Betsy Ross Bridge to Bridge Street. And then on the 30 bypass, we're jammed Reeseville Road to Norwood. That is because of an accident that's now off to the shoulder. On the Ben Franklin Bridge westbound, you're jammed the midspan to 8th and Vine, 42 freeway northbound, heavy Blackwood Clementon Road to 295, 55 northbound, jams north of Deptford to 42, and then in Hamilton, 29 northbound, slowing from 195 to Cass Street. This traffic report brought to you by UPSjobs.com. UPS is hiring warehouse workers near you. Apply at UPSjobs.com/shift. That's UPSjobs.com/shift. Make a difference. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right. Bizarre time.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, sponsored this morning by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. You can download the DraftKings app and use the code ROCK to get in on the action. So a local news station in Spokane, Washington, KREM, Krem, I guess.
Yes.
Aired a pornographic clip during its Sunday broadcast at 6 p.m. on the weekend.
Oops.
Meteorologist Michelle Boss was giving a weather update on the station when the clip was shown over her right shoulder. The explicit clip aired for around 13 seconds and appeared to show a woman's backside. Neither Boss nor her co-anchor on the report, Cody Proctor, reacted to the clip before the screen cut to more weather footage.
Now, so there had to be somebody in that newsroom who was watching that, and they switched the wrong connector, right?
Either that or somebody did it to sabotage.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, one of those two things probably.
One of those other channels they war with, like in Anchorman.
Krem apologized for the incident later that evening on its 11 p.m. broadcast. Those of us here at KREM 2 want to apologize for something that happened in our 6 p.m. newscast tonight, they said. And inappropriate.
We're sorry because we left out the money shot. Here you go.
Video aired the first part of the show, and we are diligently working to make sure something like this doesn't happen again. The Spokane Police Department has confirmed that it is investigating the incident and confirmed the clip generated numerous calls from concerned citizens.
They got the cops involved
in the city and county.
Oh, no, the fire department.
I'm like, God, the fire department's here.
No.
The Spokane Police Department's Special Victims Unit, because I guess if kids saw it, you
possibly, yes.
And Technical Assistance Response Unit confirmed that they are working with the station to conduct an investigation as to how the video appeared on a newscast and where it came from.
Did they have a police sketch artist show up as well?
Maybe this ass
more pear-shaped?
Yeah. A man driving a rideshare was stabbed by five teens early Monday after he denied the group a ride because he didn't have enough room to fit them all in his car, according to Denver police.
Well, what the hell is he supposed to do?
I know. Officers responded. It was like 12:30 in the morning after a report came in about a rideshare driver being stabbed. Police said the rideshare driver had just completed a fare in the area when he was approached by five teens asking for a ride. When the driver told them they couldn't fit in his car, an argument broke out between the man and the teens. The dispute turned physical, and the driver sustained several stab wounds.
Jeez.
He was taken to the hospital and is expected to survive. The investigation is ongoing. No arrests have been made as of yet.
That could be some dangerous work, man.
Yeah. A bicyclist who police say was run over several times by the same car has died from his injuries, and now police say that they will meet with the attorney's office to determine what, if any, criminal charges should be filed.
How do you get run over? How do you run over somebody multiple times and not be at fault?
So I'll explain this. Warren Watanabe was riding his bicycle on the sidewalk and was passing in front of a restaurant when a car pulled out of the parking lot and hit him. The woman driving the car backed up, paused, then drove forward and struck the bicyclist again. The woman again backed up, paused and then drives forward. At this time, she ran over him, who was lying on the ground directly in front of the vehicle. So she ran over him a couple of times. The woman then put her car in reverse for a third time and ran over Watanabe one more time, going backwards, the warrant states. It was then that the woman got out of her car and saw Watanabe on the ground and called 911. The incident was recorded on the restaurant security camera. The restaurant's general manager said it appeared that the driver did not realize that she had hit a bicyclist. He suffered 14 broken ribs, a shattered kidney, a damaged liver, and was unable to breathe on his own. And he died from his injuries.
Dear God.
That is horrible. So police do not believe the 77-year-old driver of the car intentionally ran over him. Investigators believe the woman did not realize she hit a bicycle, but apparently knew she had hit something and kept trying to drive around or over it by backing up and going forward. She didn't think to get out and see what she hit the first time.
They didn't mention what she was driving, did they?
No, they didn't. I don't know if it was like a big SUV anything like that, but that's horrible. And for Casey, who rides bikes regularly.
Yeah, I mean,
That's got to be a fear of yours, man.
It's terrifying. And as a cyclist, you have to protect yourself as well.
Yeah.
And I got no words.
Yeah. Right. I have another story here in Missouri. An Ozark County deputy arrested a man after an unusual foot chase. So deputies pulled over this guy, Noel Cole, wanted for...
Noel Cole?
Noel Cole, wanted for... although there they call him Noel Cole.
Yeah, Noel Cole.
That's Noel Cole. He was wanted for several felony warrants out of Douglas County and on Saturday. Investigators say Cole attempted to get away from the deputy during questioning. The deputy used his taser. However, the vehicle door pulled the cords free from him. And investigators say when the deputy chased Cole, he noticed something suspicious in his hand. The deputy arrested him, realizing Cole was holding a Marie Callender chocolate cream pie. they don't know why.
Yeah.
And apparently during the foot chase, he managed to keep it intact.
I love this pie.
Investigators say the pie is safe with his belongings. After his release, he will be able to get it.
Cheers, that pie.
Well, it's probably meth.
Yeah, absolutely.
An Alabama police department is under scrutiny after video showed a woman entering one of its vans nearly 2 weeks before an officer found her dead inside the vehicle.
Alabama!
Yeah, this is messed up. So city cameras recorded the woman, Christine Nance, going inside the van about 12:30 in the afternoon on September 25th. Deputy Police Chief Dwayne McCarver said the vehicle was parked in the rear of police department's public safety complex. Nance made it into the van because it was unlocked, which violates department policy and shouldn't have happened, McCarver said. It wasn't until October 7th when an officer walked by the van and noticed shoes next to it that Nance's body was found inside. The windows, which popped outward, were open. So here's the deal. He said, the sheriff said that, or the deputy police chief said, people walk by the van. We wish she would have hollered out or something because there was, unfortunately, potential opportunity for this to not be a tragedy. The police van initially was used to transport inmates to jail.
Right.
It was more recently used to move evidence to be destroyed in cleared investigations. But he said because of its original design, it doesn't have handles on the inside. It was made for transporting prisoners and inmates. Like, you get in, you can't get out. He said you can't exit from the interior of the van. But an autopsy showed no signs of foul play or trauma. Nance's official cause of death, which would be determined by the state medical examiner, is pending additional tests, including toxicology. She may have dehydrated. She may have died.
What a way to go.
It's just terrible.
It's a friggin' nightmare.
All right, and that is all I have in the bizarre file for you. You got about 5 minutes left. We're going to give you until 15 after the hour to enter our money clip word. And the word we have for you now is slam, S-L-A-M. So you know what to do, and we're running out of time on this, so make sure that you get to it. And don't miss your opportunity to win the $500 we have to give away. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You, Help You line.
So, hey, from all of us at McCollison's Lock Shop, we are a small family-owned locksmithing business that has been located in Prospect Park for the past 40 years. And we don't just do lockouts and house keys here. We also sell and program car keys and the fobs. We install new door hardware and service commercial access and security systems. Y'all should give us a call, 610-530-1500, and check us out on social media. Take care, y'all.
Next message.
Ahoy there, matey. Reaching out to you today with Treasure Sign.
you're looking for a great new image for your pirate ship, company, come check us out at Treasure Sign for all your graphic and sign needs. Find us on the map in Willow Grove or in the high seas on Facebook, Instagram, or at treasuresign.com. The crew at Treasure Sign is always available to make sure you don't have to walk the plank. Fair wind.
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. Pituation.
Hey, yo. You know, I don't want to bring up part of my Rocky impersonation, which is really bad now that I'm hearing myself. All right, never mind.
Part of my Rocky impersonation.
My well-known repertoire. It was so great having him on air at Barbecue this year and like seeing him again. And he kind of went into the Rocky impression again. It was awesome.
And the best part is watching Bill roll his eyes when we had Pitch on.
Well, and he is, even though he's like, you know, we have these goofy clips of him, like he's very confident. And the fact that he doesn't care, I just love that.
He's the best.
Cool.
Hey, we have a new Daily Rush video is up and that is up. And the title is Human-Based Plant-Based Meat. And the description says, Impossible is a new protein-based product thanks to Preston's Flub. And if you follow us on Instagram, we will send you that link right away. We'll send you the video right away, and you can watch it. You don't have to go searching for it.
I don't remember that exchange.
No. I don't either.
Like little gems.
Human-based, plant-based meat. So follow WMMR on Instagram. We'll get it right to you. And it's sponsored by Xfinity's Gig Speed Internet. And you can learn more at Xfinity.com. Thank you.
Hey, real quick, it was something I learned in a couple of breaks ago was that we were talking about pork rinds.
Yes.
Pork rinds are keto friendly.
Is that right?
And not only that, but people who are on a keto diet will often, they will mash them up into pork rind crumbs and use it as like a panko crust.
Okay.
So you have I guess they call it pork rind panko.
Okay.
So you can have let's say a chicken cutlet that is totally keto-friendly.
Okay. Cool.
Back to you, Preston.
Loaded with pork. Okay. Real quick, couple of shout-outs. This says, hey, guys, this is from George. Says, I am not sure if it's yourself or Steve that went to Westchester University.
Both. Oh.
Neither one of us.
Yes.
Kathy Romano is the golden ram here. He says, my daughter Emily is a freshman music major, plays flute and piccolo in the marching band. Very proud of her. Maybe you guys could do a shout-out for her. Thank you, and that is George. So there you go. Shard out. Yep.
Another fun fact. Do you guys know who was a music major at Westchester University?
Who?
Dr. Mike.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Mike is quite a whiz on the trumpet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one. It says, hey, please give a juicy shout out to my Jay, the most dope hubs and daddy who has ever existed in all the multiverses. He has been so supportive and wonderful during a tough but wonderful year when we've moved multiple times. My mom was diagnosed with and then passed away from esophageal cancer, and our first child was born. Jay has done everything for our family this year that someone could do, and I'm so grateful that our little Shuggy is going to grow up with him and as his dad, from his adoring wife, Amanda, and his sweet little son, Shuggy. So here you go. Shout out. And she sent me, like, the full story.
Wow.
Of what they went through, and
it's pretty elaborate.
So she wanted to throw it out there. And then one last thing. This is really—I'll throw a shout out to this guy. He's not requesting a shout out. He says the subject line is furthest listener in the 50 states.
Yes.
He says, "Hey, Preston, I'm a loyal listener originally from the area, but currently living in Abilene, Texas. I'm a few days behind, but I just heard your segment asking where people are listening from around the country and the world. I'm an Air Force C-130 pilot." And often listen to the podcast while I fly.
That's wild.
I've listened to the show in at least 25 countries and 30 states. Just this past week, I may have been your furthest listener in the 50 states. I was listening from Shemya Island, Alaska, one of the westernmost Aleutian Islands, right up against the international dateline. And he sent me a map with the little
Oh, that's awesome. I'm fascinated with the Aleutians.
And it is Steve, it is far to the international date line as you can possibly get and still be in American territory.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Wow,
so,
it's almost to Russia.
Yeah, it's way, 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 way out there. So that was cool. That's Anthony Iannarelli. Who checked in. And
Anthony, man, that's awesome.
And a pilot and a C-130. That's awesome. And he will be sitting in the pilot seat listening to our show.
Listen to our inanity.
While flying all over the place. That's cool, man. Thank you. We appreciate it. So a shout out for Anthony.
Yes, of course.
We appreciate that.
All right. I wonder if he ever flies near the Kamchatka Peninsula.
What is that?
It's right near there. It's also a board piece in Risk.
Ah.
So, yeah, so like it's that part of Russia. This long peninsula right here, Preston, that's Kamchatka.
All right.
So it's right near Irkutsk. And some other Risk pieces.
That's probably as close as he's gotten.
Yeah.
Who knows? All right. So besides all this world traveling stuff, man, Kathy went to Goodwill.
Oh, wow.
And she wanted to tell us about it. So let's see what that's all about.
Wow. Nice setup.
I'm sorry.
So
now from the far-flung corners of the world.
Sometimes you have it. Sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
Yes, I went to Goodwill the other day because I had some on the Facebook yard sale sites. You guys know I do that.
You love that.
And so Jace is really into snowboarding, and I want to get him his own snowboard this year because renting it is a pain in the ass.
Right,
So I figured maybe I could get something that's like slightly used, you know, because he really will only get at this age, you know, and how fast he's growing, he might get a year or two out of the snowboard. So Buckman's actually had this tent sale, which was awesome. I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I can get some there. I went in the evening. They basically were wiped out. They had like one glove left.
Right, yeah. I've sold my old stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? At the Buckman's consignment shop, you know, when my my kids outgrew the boots and the boards. I sold them there, and stuff goes immediately.
It goes so quick.
I guess it's part of that industry, right?
At the beginning of the season, it's gone, man.
Yeah. So I couldn't get anything there. So I put it on the yard sale site that I'm on, and some woman, and his size is 128, which I guess is, I don't know if that's like an odd size or whatever.
Board size?
The board size, okay. So I put, by chance, does anybody have a snowboard that they're getting rid of, looking for a size 128? This woman goes, oh my God. She goes, I just donated a brand new 128 to Goodwill on Germantown Pike in East Narton. She's like, go there. I just dropped it off. She goes, it's got to still be there. They probably just put it out. So I go to Goodwill and, walk around the store. There's nothing there. I'm like,
Where are your snowboards?
Well, let me just ask the lady. I said, hey, I told her the whole story. I said, by chance, she goes, well, if it came in on Sunday, like the lady said, she goes, it's probably still in the back. Do you want me to go check for you? And I was like, yeah, that would be great. Thank you so much. 40 minutes later.
Wow.
Now, I'm walking around Goodwill, and I'm like, okay, she's either really going out of her way.
Right.
Or she clocked out and left for the day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, what is happening? And I'm standing by the door that she walked in. So she couldn't have gotten past me. And like, the employees, one of the employees came over to me. He's like, can I help you? And I was like, oh, no, she's looking for something for me, which I think is like, I think that's out of the ordinary. I don't think they normally go back to their inventory in the back and search for stuff for people.
They wouldn't know what was available anyway. I mean, store is where you find it.
Yeah. Constantly.
Right.
And so, I'm like, okay, well, at this point, I don't want to leave because I feel rude. Like that. If she's really going, she's going out of her way to look for this. So now I'm on
God
the phone.
God damn, that was hard, but I found it.
I did the conference call with you guys. Yeah. Now I'm on the phone with my cousin, and she goes, what? She goes, are you sure she's back there? Like, where did you originally talk to her? I was like, well, she was up at the cash register. She goes, I think you should walk up there and like just check to see if she's up there. Like, maybe she got by you. I'm like, she couldn't have gotten by me. I'm standing outside the door. I walk up to the cash register. There she is, standing at the cash register. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. How long has she been there? And she sees me. And she goes, yeah, we can find it.
They never tracked you down. Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, my God. Well, I didn't even want her to track me down. Where did she go? What did she, like, sneak out of the... I was standing at the door. Like,
oh, my God.
I don't understand how she got past me. Like, I never took my eyes off of the door. So I have no idea how she got past me.
Maybe there's a tunnel that goes from the cash register all the way to the back.
In case somebody comes in and asks for a snowboard, you got to use this tunnel.
Seriously.
Yeah.
While I was walking around and standing like right at the door were the belts. And so I just was looking because I was there. There was a belt. It was the day that And how do we say his name? Colin Powell. Colin. It was the day he died. Uh-huh. I'm standing there. There's a belt with his name written on it.
What? Colin Powell?
Yes.
What are the odds he dropped a belt off at Goodwill?
I don't know. I'm like, did he ever live around here?
No, it's probably something that was part of a maybe a line of things that.
No. It was handwritten.
Really?
It was hand,
Colin Powell.
It was handwritten on the belt. I took a picture of it. And because I'm like, this is
Steve,
very bizarre.
He had a whole wardrobe line at Target we didn't know about.
I didn't even
know. Powell collection.
Oh, these are my George Patton salt shakers.
Well, I don't know if it was like, I took a picture of the belt buckle.
Here's a
too,
Schwarzkopf like a gravy boat.
Schwarzkopf. Stormed a Norman boat.
Yeah. Steve, look.
That's bizarre.
Isn't that bizarre? Stormed
a Norman gravy boat? Wait, let me see that.
Okay.
I want to see the.
I'm going to zoom in so you can see the name, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, wait.
Oh.
And then this was the belt buckle. And I don't know if this, does that, like, mean anything? Is
that's
that...
a that's a Boy Scout belt buckle.
Okay.
Was Colin Powell known for his, like, man, look at my belt buckle, man.
Hey, well, did he have anything to do with the Boy Scouts?
Maybe the kid's name was Colin Powell.
I don't know. Still weird, right?
Yeah, that's strange.
It was the day he died, or the day at least the
oh, my God.
We got the news.
Something's wrong. Something's very wrong.
Yeah, that's odd. I don't know why somebody would write that on a belt in the first place, and then you would see it on the day that he died.
Yeah. No.
And it's a definitely a Boy Scout belt.
And then
here's what happened, Kathy. Go back again and see if you can find a belt with someone else's name on it. Let's see if that person dies.
No, stop it.
It's like a Twilight Zone episode. Like you write your name on the belt, write someone's name on the belt, and then they die.
Well, and then
it can't be.
Well, then I was thinking like, oh, did somebody do that?
You right know? Over there by the Storm and Norman gravy boat.
Well, no, then I'm like thinking like, oh, did somebody just do that today? But no, it's like worn and, you know, like the marker is worn out. It was clearly had been written on there, you know, while ago.
Really weird.
Isn't it weird?
Well, yeah.
So I didn't get a snowboard, but there was a belt.
You got a Colin Powell
belt. Name on
it. Somebody was in Detroit or something, or was at some sort of thrift store and saw there was like a Preston and Steve swag.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like in a rack, and like, why would it be there?
Yeah, it was in another country or something.
Maybe.
I remember seeing like a T-shirt on a rack. You know, things when they're donated.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Over there.
By the way, Steve, somebody says, did they have a Reagan Yumbo platter? I don't know.
Thumbs up to that.
Yeah.
There was a homeless guy in Westchester that, you know, when we went there, we sort of got to know him. You know, he would walk the streets and, you know, we would pass him and whatever. And we would say hi to him, talk to him every once in a while. And we saw him with our sorority T-shirt on one day that we had donated
to Goodwill.
Yeah, my girlfriend had donated to Goodwill, and we were like, oh my God, he's wearing a Zeta T-shirt.
You know, and speaking of, you know, like Goodwill and thrift shops and things like that, I never find anything good in those. They seem like a good idea, and then you get in there, and then you're like, oh, this is stuff people didn't want.
Maybe if you're into antiquing or collecting things like that, you know, but for me, I donate all the time, but I don't ever go get from.
You
but
need people- to really look. Like, if you need to spend the time and look. It's a good place for Halloween costumes.
That, and you also need to have that thing that, you know, almost like a metal detector person has where they're just searching
and you find.
I'm going to stick with it, and I'm going to find this little gem, you know, but I don't have that in me.
Yes, I'm putting together a Colin Powell outfit for Halloween. The last thing I need is a belt.
Well, I almost was like, should I buy it? Like, is this going to could this be donated to
put
me
it in a case over your fireplace. What is that? Well, that was Colin Powell's belt.
Boy Scout belt.
Our old intern, Dan Craig, Esquire, he's a lawyer now.
Yes.
He shops at Goodwill all the time. And I think he likes to do that for vintage sports like gear. You know, like old Eagles hats, old, you know, Sixers hats, Flyers hats.
Interesting.
And that's what he posts all that stuff on Twitter whenever
he
finds
it. Is he really a lawyer?
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He just passed his bar a couple of weeks ago.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So I haven't done the old the thrift shop thing in a little while. It seemed like a good idea each time I go, and then I'm like, no.
What's that store that
it, garbage?
It's a consignment store. There's a chain of them. Green Tree or something like that. Or
well, they have Green Drop.
No.
There used to be one on Main Street, man.
There's one in Chestnut Hill.
Yeah.
What is that called?
But it's a popular consignment shop. I never do the consignment shops.
We have like Grandmom's Attic or Grandma's Attic or something like that in the Lawrence Park Shopping
Center. It's Green Street.
Green Street.
Steve. There we go. Yeah, it's Green Street.
By the way, a couple of people are texting in. Kathy saying Baden Powell. is the person who started the Boy Scouts. It doesn't say Baden on it, does it?
No, it didn't. It
clearly says Colin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's a very bizarre thing.
How isn't it?
I think the kid's name was Colin Powell. That's my.
It's quite possible. Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I did look at the size of the belt. It was because I was like, oh, is it his size? It was no. It was. It was a large belt. It was. Okay. It definitely was not a child's belt. Right. No, it was an adult belt.
Uh-huh. The guy was just a super duper big fan, and the day he died,
yeah,
he said, "I can't wear this anymore."
No, it'll bring up too many bad memories.
Speaking of shopping, I did see a couple of stories concerning that, or actually one in particular, but the U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, and UPS have released their final dates for shipping Christmas gifts.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Already.
Yeah. So,
all right, what are they?
According to the Postal Service, if customers want their packages to get there on time and wish to send their packages through retail ground, they must mail them by December 15th.
December 15th.
I'm sorry. I've got something stuck in my throat. First class packages must be shipped by December 17th, and customers must send priority mail by December 18th.
Can you intercept your package somewhere? You know, so I ordered something online, and I'm, you know, looking at it right now. I'm tracking it on FedEx. It was in Northampton, Pennsylvania yesterday.
Right.
Came from Las Vegas, was in Northampton yesterday.
That's a good question.
It's still not scheduled to be delivered till tomorrow, but it's in Bridgeport right now.
One time, Casey, I went to the UPS distribution center in Westchester, and this was 3 or 4 years ago, and I forget why, but I had the option of waiting another 3 or 4 days for it to show up at my house, and they gave the UPS people gave me the option of going out there to get it.
Okay. And pick it up.
Yeah, and I never heard
that.
And it took a little while. That distribution center is massive. There are, you know, it's one of the ones for Southeast PA, so a lot of people work there, and there are a lot of packages coming through, as you can imagine. But I just like waited in line like you'd wait at the post office, and gave my name and number, and they brought out you know what I was waiting for.
I think that is if they have attempted to deliver it and it needs a signature. And like a certain amount of times, it then goes to the distribution center, and they'll say, like, we'll try one more time or you can pick it up.
That happened with me so I had to go to the UPS distribution center over in, was it Conshohocken? Or maybe it was a FedEx center. But I had to go there because they said they had attempted to drop it off. I don't believe that.
I know what Casey's saying because I've tracked an order before and it's gone. It's like, okay. It's been there for 2 days.
It's right there.
It's right there. Yeah. I could just go drive and go get it.
Right.
Are you allowed to do that or not? I mean, you know, if you have proof of your identification or I don't know.
You just have to describe the box.
What's
in the box?
Real quick, I'm going to double back.
All right.
Because I got this text and it's going back to the thrift shop.
Yeah.
It says, I got the most amazing Johnny Holmes charcuterie board at Goodwill. It was long brown wood and definitely smelled like cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know.
Hidden treasures. Smelled like cheese, for sure. No, I don't know. Case, I wish I had an answer for you on that.
I just hope it comes by tomorrow. But
is it like living? Is it a puppy?
It is not. No.
Okay. So, all right. Well,
it's just a little surprise they got for somebody in my family. And,
Okay. By the way, the Postal Service recommends consumers mail gifts before December 6th if you want to be nice and safe.
All right.
FedEx has similar guidelines. Home delivery and ground packages must be shipped by December 15th. FedEx Express, Saver, and 3-day freight, limited flexibility, but must be sent by December 21st. And then there's another one that needs to be December 22nd. For UPS, 3-day select shipping, you must get the mail in by December 21st. 2-day must be sent by December 22nd, and next day must be by December 23rd.
What if you ordered something, Preston, and they're on one of those cargo ships off the coast? Can you jet ski out to it,
right,
and sort of rummage around?
And go get
it? Yeah.
Man, I'm waiting for something that they keep telling me it's sitting on a ship. Like, it is just, it is not coming yet, and the second it gets here.
Is it big, small?
No, it's a ski jacket.
Okay.
I'm just waiting for it to be in stock.
When I was waiting for my car, which took forever.
Yeah.
That I got earlier this year.
How long?
I ordered it in October. I didn't get it till July. Yeah, that's how long it took. But Kathy, they gave me the name of the ship it was on, and I could
follow it if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Preston, I know you're worried about your car, but we're taking really good care of it.
There are websites where you can track cargo ships.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it will show you exactly where in the world it is right now. It's live coverage. and where, you know, where its port of call is and all that stuff. So if you really want to find out, you can.
Will they take a picture of it for you and send it in?
They should, but I didn't have that service available.
I've gotten bored some nights on and watched on YouTube high-speed cargo ships going through
across
locks.
The ocean.
No, well, locks and around the ocean, and they'll end up in, like, the Straits of Malacca off of Malaysia or whatever. And I'm like,
Malacca.
Yeah. I know. It's really weird and bizarre and probably pretty nerdy, but I can't stop watching them.
You can, and I don't know if it was through, it might, I think it might be Amazon, where you can, once your package is, like, essentially in your neighborhood or in
right,
your area,
right.
You can watch it. It's like, oh, my God, it's like three streets away. And
really?
Then, you know, oh, they just made a drop-off. It's like, oh, you're third.
I can see them. I can see them.
Well, yeah, you get alerts that say you're three stops away.
You're three stops away. It's like, and then they just dropped it there. And now they're on this street. And then sure enough, it's like, should be coming around the corner in 3, 2, no way, there it is.
Is it like watching your Uber car on the
although
little,
I've never...
your driver is near.
Yeah, I've never done Uber.
Oh, so Casey, you can. There's a little icon, and you see the little car moving along. It's like, it's right around the corner. I see it.
Here come my protein bars.
Watch. 3, 2, 1, there it is. Real quick, let me go to Sebastian. Hi, Sebastian. Good morning.
Good morning, it.
Good morning, it. What's up, my man?
All right, Casey, so if you're looking on the FedEx site, you should be able to see something that says stop package, hold at facility.
Okay.
And you can click that and literally go pick it up at whatever facility it's at.
So that is available. Yeah. I would imagine, and maybe some deliveries are different than others, you know, where they might not be available. Are you looking at it right now?
Yeah.
I've done it with FedEx before.
All right, okay. So Sebastian, like I've joined, so on the FedEx, I created a membership or a you know, an idea. I did it for UPS as well, all the different delivery things, because they give you much more information and many more options.
They really do.
You can pre-sign for things.
All right, yeah. Thanks, Sebastian. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys. Love you.
When's the last time you guys tried to overnight something?
Last week.
My God, it's expensive.
It is very expensive. It also depends, but sometimes. I mean,
I've only done it a couple times, and I've gone, really?
Wait, I just had.
I'm
to...
paying that much.
I've seen it be more than the cost of the item being.
Yes.
Oh, I just did something, and it was I overnighted. It was $5. What were you trying to send?
I don't remember. I haven't done it in so long because I got sticker shock, and I'm like, I'm never doing that again.
Mine it was a Colin Powell belt.
Mine was small. It wasn't large, but it cost $5, and it was there the next day.
All right, then what service did
FedEx.
You use? Yeah, because I remember, like, you know, having to send, like, papers or, like, a you know, maybe a passport or something important. Like, we've got to get it there right away.
You know what, though?
It's expensive.
I've had within hours. Like, I've ordered something from the Apple Store. And they will courier it over.
No way.
And it was like 10 bucks, 11 bucks.
I'm talking about sending something like to Florida.
Oh, to Florida overnight. Like when it absolutely has to get there overnight.
Mm-hmm. No, but I ate like $100 sending out cycling jerseys to various teammates this year. And because I didn't know how much it cost. And so when I was too far into the whole process, I'm like, I should have just driven to Malvern to drop off this freaking jersey.
Yeah.
Freaking Jersey.
I have Jason. Hi, Jason. Good morning. Jason, you're on the air, buddy.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, good morning. I think Sebastian covered this, but UPS, you sign up and you can have it held at a distribution center. You can even have it sent to a different address.
So maybe now. I don't know how far into the process is, Casey, and if that would be prohibitive.
It says it's on a vehicle right now.
It's on a vehicle right now. Can you meet the guy, the driver, for coffee?
I should be able to do that. Yeah, dude, I'll meet you at Dunkin'.
Hi. says you're into folk music.
It's a dating app, too.
You look good in shorts.
You got to swipe it, and you get to meet up. And
I like
a glory
brown.
Hole in the truck.
Oh, my God.
Let me go back and look in the back of the truck.
Looking brown for you.
We have a cut back here.
All right. Well, anyhow, just keep in mind the with supply chain issues and all that stuff, your best bet, get this stuff bought and sent as soon as you can do it this year.
Especially this year. Yeah. Well, you don't know. Look, Kathy has to swim out to a cargo ship. Yeah.
Get myself.
Yeah.
All right, we appreciate the calls. Maybe we'll never know. Maybe somebody out there is missing a Colin Powell belt, and we'll hear what the story is behind
that. Goodwill.
Which Goodwill was it?
It was on Germantown Pike in East Norton.
Okay.
It was the day Colin Powell's pants fell down.
All right. We should take a break.
No one could find his belt.
We should take a break and give away a $25 gift card for the Horse Tavern and Grill in Sellersville. Nick will be there tomorrow night. Let's take caller number 11 at 215-263-WMMR and give that to you. Don't forget, every week at the Bud Light Thursday night kickoff, you can score Birds tickets, custom MMR Bud Light t-shirts, and signed Birds merchandise. You can click on events at WMMR.com for details. Like I said, Nick there tomorrow night, 7 to 9 in Sellersville at the Horse Tavern and Grill, caller 11. We're going to set you up. Coming back with Mr. Tom Papa. Yeah. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Foo Fighters. A-Ron Jones. Billy Idol.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Programming note. Somebody just texted in, Kathy. They have a snowboard they want to sell you.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool.
But they want you to email them. I tell you what.
No, you email me.
Dr. Jan is good. You email Kathy. Right, so Kathy at WMMR.com.
And I think it says there, Preston, that it's a Colin Powell autograph.
Snowboard?
Snowboard. Now that she found a belt.
It'll be part of her collection.
Real quick, I did get a couple of emails saying that the day he passed away, people had read, I guess, he was instrumental in the Boy Scouts. So.
Oh. That would make sense.
Maybe somebody had that written on the belt as a tribute?
Or maybe they got him to sign the belt, which seems weird. I did get Randy Jackson to sign a samurai sword, Preston.
Well, you're not going to not get Randy Jackson's autograph.
Yeah,
that's all you had, and I totally get it. But, all right, anyhow, we have a guest standing by. Guest is going to be at the Borgata playing the music box on Saturday. It's one of our all-time favorite people. Ooh, good call on the music.
Nothing like better.
Please welcome Mr. Tom Papa to the show this morning. Hey, Tom.
Buongiorno.
Grazie.
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're doing wonderful. You're going to be in AC on Saturday. And we're going to help get the word out a little bit. Where are you as we speak? You're on the West Coast?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Ah, the Windy City.
Yeah.
Were you performing out there? Because you're usually in New York, are you not?
No, I live in L.A.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Another Steve, you're lie
out of
living
whack today, man. Yeah.
I mean, that's why the bread and the mother was sent was means so much more because it was sent
now,
across
I was
the
impressed
country.
Before, but now I'm super impressed. By the way, so that's awesome. So, you've been touring. Obviously, I looked on your website. And you've been going out and doing these. You know, getting back to, as they say, normal or normal-ish, and that has to be something that you are savoring. Am I correct?
You are correct, sir. Yes. It's been my family reunion tour, as I'm calling it, is in full effect. I've been to Idaho. I've been to Washington. I've been to Florida, Atlanta. I should have called it the Hotspots Tour.
The Career Builders. No, those are all good. Here we've actually had, it was a shock, Tom, when we started to have, like, tickets to give away to events, back on the deal. And John Mulaney was just through and had, a good run. And there's all this stuff is good. And people need this. Are you finding an extra level of exuberance to the people who are coming out to your show?
Yeah, 100%. You know, a lot of people have been coming up and saying this was the first time that they've been out at an event.
Yeah.
Like that they've been, they've been out of their house, of course, but this is the first time they've actually gotten with a bunch of people and actually done something. And I opened a couple theaters back up, like one in Northern California and one in Florida. I was the first show that they had. So
nice.
It was so great just to see, like, the stagehands and the ticket takers and, like, everybody who was back to work for the first time. It was really, really cool. And then, I was like, at first I was like, I'm not going to do a meet and greet. That's too risky.
Yeah.
But then after the first theater, I was just kissing everybody. Right.
Listen, it's hard. We had our MMRBQ and we were taking pictures and arms around people and so on and so forth. And you do the best you can, but God, did it feel good. You will never take that for granted.
No, exactly. And especially, you know, in my line of work, when people like usually drink a little during the show and then they get to meet you after, you know, as a married man, there's nothing better than a boozy housewife just grabbing my butt.
Yeah.
Right, of course. So, of course.
A couple of things I need to unpack here because you had mentioned drinking during the show. And just a couple of weeks ago, I went and saw your co-host, Fortune Feimster. She was in the city. She did a show at the Merriam Theater. My wife and I, we went. We had a great time. First thing is, you were not allowed to bring any food or drink into the theater. So, therefore, all the people had to do all their pre-gaming beforehand.
Huh.
Secondly, when it comes to your act, I don't know if you ever employ or want to employ a sort of a call and response where you will ask the audience a question and they either respond with a hoot and a holler or whatever. But Fortune did that early on in her show, and I think some people took that as a... oh, this is going to be an interactive show. And it was so frustrating because people didn't shut up the entire show. And Fortune was just super duper gracious about it. And I don't know how you react to stuff like that.
Oh, interesting. It depends. It depends on my mood. If I'm like, if my jokes are hitting and everything's great, then I'll just ride it out. And then if I'm desperate and if I've been pre-gaming, I'll start yelling out too.
Well, isn't there a point in the show where you've got to yell out your catchphrase, Geeter done?
Yeah. That's usually when the banner falls.
Well, it's funny because you cultivate an audience that you're just the best of the best, and your stuff is so smart. And I think the kind of audience, not that Fortune's audience is not this way, but they're going to be hanging on every word. They realize it's not interactive.
Fortune's audiences are animals.
Wow. I didn't know you'd go that way.
She grew up in the woods of North Carolina, and when she comes to town, they all come out of the mountains and take their dusty trucks, and they don't know what it's like to be in the big city. They get overexcited.
So yeah. It looks like
my people are cultured. My people know when they're in a classy place like Atlantic City.
Wow! So her audience looks like the Hills Have Eyes,
and his is more the Great Gatsby.
The Great Gatsby, yeah.
No, I mean, look, I play in Atlantic City. That's not a place that you would associate necessarily with high class. It's not like Las Vegas where you don't plan to go to Atlantic City. You're driving, you're smoking, you're flicking your butts out the window, and you're like, screw it. Let's go to AC.
I've done that.
In Atlantic City. Hell yes, I've done that.
It's not like the Las Vegas high cuisine where everyone's got like, Wolfgang Puck and Bobby Flay restaurants and everybody. You go to Atlantic City, you get some tater tots, and some deep fried Oreos off the boardwalk, and you go see Papa at the Borgata.
Ah, what you do? We're just on Saturday.
Yeah,
Tom, I love following you on Instagram, especially when you'll post post some snippets from an act that you've done. Are you doing all that yourself, or does somebody else? Or do you pick and choose? You just grab some stuff randomly, or you try to get some stuff that's pertinent for what's going on in the world at the time?
No, I was on Instagram and I was like trying to, as we all do, you want to put stuff up that's funny and
right.
stuff. And I'm like, I'm following my pug around and I'm taking pictures of him licking his ass. And I'm trying to come up with all this stuff. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I am a stand-up comedian. Right. I have 5 hours of recorded material just in specials. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the late night stuff. I was like, why aren't I putting the funniest thing I can possibly do on the internet? Why is my pug getting more airtime than me? Mm-hmm. So I found a guy who actually edits the clips and puts the words on the clip and
excellent.
Posts it.
Yeah, oh my God. It's all packaged really well. That's what I love about it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. And it truly is like the best thing that I do. It's every I'm a comedian first and foremost, Why? So I put those jokes up. It's so much better than, you know, me trying to come up with something in my kitchen while I'm baking bread.
It makes complete sense because all the time, like, throughout the history of this show with doing radio and then, you know, we podcasting and this and all these different things, you know, you got to have somebody do this and somebody do that. And I'm like, well, honestly, what we do is radio. And mm-hmm. you know, you and that's the most important thing. And then getting distracted with that stuff just seemed always seemed like weird. Like everything feeds the main thing, which for us is radio. So I get what you're saying about being distracted. Now you have to be, you know, you have to be an influencer on TikTok or something. It's not you don't have time for that.
Yeah, which is cool. I mean, it's fun to like interact with people. I mean, if I was a kid, and I when I was coming up, if George Carlin would have possibly responded to me well with something he posted on social media, I would have blown my mind. So I'm conscious of that and love doing it. But I was just like, but the stand-up is all just sitting there in the vault. It's like, let's put that out to the people and let that be the thing that's funny. And then when my dog licks his ass, if it's not funny, maybe it's seen as dramatic.
Yeah. Right? There are times when it's more impactful. I got it. I wanted to ask you because you worked with, you know, and are friends with Rob Zombie. He is doing the Munsters movie and just posted a picture of the cast. Are you a Munsters fan? And B, is there any potential for you to have something in this movie?
You know, everybody always wants to ask me about Rob Zombie because we're good friends and done a couple of my stand-up specials and stuff like that. But when I saw that picture of the Munsters and I wasn't in it, I was starting to question our friendship.
Ouch.
I mean, don't you think I could have been Herman? I could have walked around with big boots on and made a goofy face. Or I am a Munsters fan. I really love Rob. I am a little confused why I didn't get the call.
You actually would have been quite good. He has an encyclopedic knowledge of, you know, the show. It's funny because we were talking about it yesterday, and that's when one season of a sitcom had 36 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is a passion project of his, so.
Yeah, he loves it. I mean, if you ever see his live show, you know, he has this great multimedia screens and all this stuff, and it'd be so funny because he's rocking really hard, and he's got this crazy stuff going on and, like, these murder things on the thing, and then all of a sudden Herman Munster comes up and is doing a dance. He loves Herman Munster. He loves him so much. And I think it's going to be pretty cool. I talked to him. I called him just to say hi because I thought he was going into production with it. And
right.
He was like, no, that ship has sailed. I was like, oh, okay. And then I pretended that we were friends and kept talking. but how great would it be to be Rob Zombie in the month of October?
Oh, my God.
You know what
God.
I mean? Like, oh, man. You know, during July and August when everyone's at the beach, probably being Rob Zombie is not that great. But now... Now he's thriving.
Yeah. What other months is it not good to be Rob Zombie? Like, is it just the summer months?
Christmas.
Well, there's some ghost stuff and otherworldly stuff if you get little, you know, Charles Dickens-y.
Yeah, right. True.
Rob Zombie sitting at the beach in a lounge chair. I don't.
is Halloween and October a? Do you get into it? Do you enjoy this the holiday part of this this month?
I really do. For so many years, my agent was trying to get me to work on Halloween weekend, and I would not do it. I had to be home with my kids, and I would decorate the house like crazy. I would put up video walls. And
I love it. Just,
I'm so into it.
Love it.
And now my daughters are 16 and 19. And the other night I was putting finishing touches on my decorations and I realized I'm doing this by myself now.
Aww.
There's no kids around. I'm doing it totally for me. They're not even like putting a pumpkin out. And I was like, wow, this is why I had kids in the first place. Because I was going to do it either way, and I just needed an excuse for acting like a moron.
Well, my wife and I don't have kids, but I do it up big time. I love the horror movies. I love the whole thing. And I set it up on the front lawn for the neighborhood because I think, you know, we're at a stop sign at an intersection and people stop and they love to look at it. And it's sort of like a gift. But I'm like, yeah, some people I know, you know, they just cut and lose it because they figure it's a kid's thing. And I know it's kind of crazy.
No.
It's I love it.
You're right. Yeah. And you're right. I literally was thinking of that last night. I'm not doing it for my kids anymore. I'm doing it for the community.
Yeah.
I'm doing it because it's cool to have like a house that looks fun and stuff during the holiday season rather than just another boring house like my neighbors. So no, I'm totally into it. And I'm really excited.
Like your really boring neighbors.
Oh, my neighbor's the worst. He doesn't do anything. So he never puts not even a light bulb. He doesn't even put his lights on the doorstep. Oh, the worst.
Yeah.
And also, he's been jackhammering for a year and a half in his yard.
What's he jackhammering up?
I don't know. How far down can he be going?
That's why.
Literally nonstop for like a year and a half. He's just jackhammering.
Well, have you ever jackhammered? Have you ever jackhammered? Because I did this summer. It's exhilarating.
You're defending this jerk?
No.
This guy's doing it for fun next door.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing it to get off.
This is so much fun. But it is fun.
It's like his Pilates class.
Got to do 20 minutes on the hammer. Yeah. It's a Peloton.
I hate
him so much. Yeah, come on. Come on, Jackers. Let's do this.
Oh, my God. Do you interact with him at all, or is there like a no talking thing with your next door neighbor?
No, we talk. We'll smile. He's not the friendliest guy. He's not like one of those guys. Like, I'm really friendly with a lot of the neighbors. We'll talk and I'll give them bread and this guy is just kind of like, he's just one of those weirdos. Like, he'll look you right in the eye and you're like, good morning. And this is the problem with being a friendly guy like myself.
Yeah.
Is like 50% of the time you feel like a jerk because you're like a big wave and a big smile, like, good morning. And they just look at you like you're not even there.
I hate that. Hate it.
Oh, and you feel like such a moron.
Yeah, it's like if I do a lot of hiking, or if you're on a path or something, you're passing somebody, hey, how are you? And you get nothing. It's dehumanizing.
Yeah, what percentage of the people wave back when you're hiking by?
I think I present, I'm having to overcome an inherently serial killer-ish looking, you know,
yeah, people image. Are looking out of the side of their eyes, Steve, to make sure it's not going to hurt them.
I really, I bring it up to, you know, Richard Simmons levels, and, so people do respond, you know, but for the most, I'd say percentage-wise, 70% I'll get positive back, but then there's some that are just...
Yeah.
Not even a nod, a smile or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And how do they feel when they don't wave back and then you knock them off the trail?
Right. Yeah. I drag them into the tall grass and I sacrifice them. No, it's true, but it's part of, well, let me ask you, in your neighborhood where you are residing, are you Tom Papa or are you just Tom?
I'm Tom. Oh, it depends.
Yeah.
It depends. If they're nice to me and then I just let it go as Tom, and then if I need more respect, I let them know I'm Tom Papa. And then I like bring out all my merch, I bring out my books.
You set up a merch table?
DVDs on the sidewalk. I put out a little, like the guys in the city, I put out a little blanket on the sidewalk. Put all my
notes out. Yeah,
that'll do it.
Just in case you forgot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the guy jackhammers it into the ground.
Tom, I wanted to ask about the title of the tour, the family reunion tour. Is that just that we're all getting back together, or is there something else to that title?
Yeah, no, that's it. It's okay. That we're all getting back together. And, you know, I've been touring for 20 years, and I go back to these cities again and again, and I really do have relationships with people, and you know, my stand-up is always about family. I just realized, you know, even my books and stuff, it's like, it's not just my family, it's the family of the community, it's
yes.
the family of our country.
Yeah,
it's like I do see things through a familial lens, and I figured that would be a cool tour.
I like
tour
it.
Name
no you
and
do
also the graphic. The graphic was really cool.
Yeah, it looks old school. I've seen that more from like the 1950s or 60s type of thing. I dig that. And your stuff, I love it. It speaks directly to me. You're just you're a guy that I relate to, Yeah. And you're probably my favorite comedian out there. So it does have that kind of family vibe to it. I don't know what it is, but you nail it.
No, thank you. And it really, like we said in the beginning of the interview, like it really does feel like a reunion when I've been going out and performing. And people are legitimately coming up and saying, you know, because my special came out during the pandemic.
That's right.
They're like, your thing, you know, and it was called You're Doing Great, right? It's very optimistic special. And they were like, literally, we watched that thing 14 times. It got us through very dark, depressing times. And we, you know, we were so psyched that you're here. This is the first time that we're out. And, you know, that means a lot. That is not something I take lightly. I'm in a position that we can, like, that I could be a little bit of a diversion during all of the chaos is, you know, it's not the only reason I'm in it.
No.
I'm also in it because I want people to recognize me at the mall. And I want to get a reservation when I want to go out to eat.
Right.
But if I make people happy is also nice.
Right.
Yes. The therapeutic part of You're Doing Great was essentially you were just saying, look, we're all crazy.
Right.
Those crazy thoughts, that weirdness, that uncomfortableness, dude, that's all of us. And it made me feel better when I watch it because of that.
Oh, good. Yeah. And it was also that, you know, you're always planning for the future and you're always running. You're like, I hope I can one day be a success. One day I hope I figure out life. And it was like, no, wait, you're already there.
That's the big thing. I've tried to impart that in my life. But, of course, you know what happens is you become the this guy. But it is that thing. And, you know, like, was it Lennon? Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. John Lennon, not to. It's a great gift to be able to do that for people. And we've heard it throughout the time we've been doing the show, you know, over this crazy period, that it meant a lot. And that is an incredible gift to have, to be able to be able to do that for people and to hear them. And I'm sure, you know, they want to tell you in person. And that's why going down to the Borgata, you'll get that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. 100%. And that's the thing, like with your show, you were consistent, like you didn't quit and you kept going, and it was a reliable place. And people knew that they could check in. And that kept people sane during a time when it looked like reality was flipped on its head.
Right.
It's not a small thing. It's a very important thing.
Cool, man. Well, listen, enjoy your time in AC. It's this Saturday. Tom is going to be playing the Music Box at the Borgata. It's
great, a
9 p.m. show. Yeah, and tickets are available at tompapa.com. Dude, always great to catch up with you. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Likewise, you guys are the best. Thanks, really, man. Love you. I'll see you soon.
All right, take care, Tom Papa, guys.
Eat a man.
He's the best. He's absolutely the best. And you haven't made the bread yet, right? Is that coming?
I've been keeping it alive.
Okay.
So I've been feeding it. And I'm so terrified
to touch it.
because so my next door neighbor let us know that she's actually good at sourdough and send one over.
All right.
And so my wife is, we're going to make this a thing. If I have like a creature, like a swamp thing come out of the oven when I'm making this, I'll be devastated. So I want my first sourdough to be the real Tom Papa experience.
I got a recipe for, I think it's called like Benoffee pie or Bandoffee pie. It's in English.
Is it sourdough?
It's no. But the, it's a delicious dessert that is English in nature. I think I had it when we were in London. I got a recipe from Robert Irvine.
Yeah.
And when I read the recipe, I was like,
this. Yeah.
I was like, I can't do this.
I can't do it.
This is so difficult. I can't. And so I
got nowhere to go.
I didn't want to ruin it, so I never even attempted it.
I know. And that's so I need the moral support of other people for this sourdough, but I will do it. You know, we've been feeding it and that's good. But we need to get to the next level.
Nice. Hey, Steve, I teased something earlier this morning. It was somebody's birthday. Oh, no, we were talking about Danica McKellar. She's going to be on, and she is going to be talking about this Hallmark Channel Christmas
episode.
So we'll talk to her in a little bit. But real quick, if we have a moment, I did see this, Steve, and I think we may have teased this before, but now it's available. Beginning on November 1st. You can book a vacation inside a Hallmark Channel holiday movie. Club Wyndham and Hallmark Channel are partnering together to bring the joy and magic of Countdown to Christmas to life in three exclusive one-bedroom suites at their hotels that they have made up in a classic Hallmark Channel style.
All right, so part of the joy for me of watching these Hallmark Christmas movies is that they are decorated like nobody's business.
Okay.
Every Christmas village looks like it's to the max. Every room is absolutely, completely Christmassy, and ornaments and everything looks spectacular.
Yep, so that's what this is.
All right.
And there's one not too far off that you can get
Where
to,
is
Steve.
It?
That's the one in New York City. Uh-huh. So it's the classic Hallmark Channel Christmas at Club Wyndham Midtown 45. And I'll give you the description of this.
Yeah.
Do we have some Christmas music or something to kind of set the mood?
Well,
that'd be great.
Well, what kind? Do you want the sentimental Christmas music?
Yeah. Something romantic if we have it. But if not, it's okay.
Something Hallmarky. How about Hallmarky Mark?
Oh, we could do Good Vibrations or something like that. Maybe.
With Jingle Bells behind.
Hopefully this works.
Yeah.
That's okay. Right. Yeah, that's like a country Christmas.
This Sunday night.
Yeah. New York City knows how to celebrate the holidays, and Club Wyndham Midtown 45 is... I'm not liking the harmonica here. Right.
No. Yeah, it sounds like a prison.
But just wait.
There you go.
Yeah,
be home for Christmas. Okay, so... New York City knows how to celebrate the holidays, and Club Wyndham Midtown 45 is right in the heart of the festivities.
Yeah.
Visit the Rockefeller Christmas tree, go ice skating in Central Park, or explore an outdoor holiday market, and then head back to the suite to get cozy in your Hallmark Channel fuzzy socks and play a lively game of Monopoly.
No, it's
not for you.
No!
And I'm trying to put on my delivery here, too. A game of Monopoly Hallmark Channel Holiday Edition. Wrap up the evening by writing a letter to Santa while delighting in your choice of seasonal room scent delivered to you with the push of a magical button.
See, I like where they're going with this. It's not quite where it needs to be for me. So the room looks nice, and they've dialed it up definitely with Hallmark stuff. I would like an actual designated Hallmark-endorsed village that is.
Well, they don't have that yet.
I know.
So
you got to go to New York.
You got it. Well, or you could go to the Country Christmas at Club Wyndham Nashville.
Okay. That's actually more... Very few of them end up celebrating Christmas directly in New York. They're off to someplace like, Nashville.
No city does true country Christmas like Nashville. Located in the heart of Tennessee's Music Valley, Club Wyndham Nashville is tucked into the serene countryside. Catch a holiday show at the nearby Grand Ole Opry or host your own country music concert with an in-suite karaoke machine and classic country Christmas tunes on the record player.
Come across an illegal still and get shot in the face.
For an encore, challenge your loved ones to a gingerbread decorating contest.
Yes.
Yeah.
While enjoying a glass of Jingle Cabernet from Jingle Hallmark Channel Wines.
Cabernet.
They have Hallmark Channel Wines.
Yeah, I'm sure they're awesome.
Wow.
Kathy, does the Hallmark stuff have any fascination for you?
You know what? I didn't get into it. Like, yes, I do like that stuff, and I'll watch it.
Like,
but
I love it.
But I will be honest with you. The other streaming platforms are easy for me. Like, I don't... Where's Hallmark?
Hallmark is just a regular cable channel.
I know, but that's what I mean. Where is it? I don't even know what channel it is.
I just say Hallmark into the room.
I don't ever, scroll through or look for, movies. Like, it has to be, something set and ready to go.
Now, there's a picture up here. I don't know where this is, Preston, but this is more along the line. This is what you want.
That's Nashville.
You want just everything is friggin' Christmas.
I don't know. I thought the other place looked nice.
It looked pretty good. It was just one room, though. This is
Yeah. So I like the aesthetic of some of these Hallmark Christmas Channel things, but the nauseating formulaic manner of them so turns me off.
They comfort me.
Oh, I hate it.
Because I know exactly how it's going to turn out.
Wait, what the?
The plot.
It's so formulaic. Just, okay. It's the same trope every single time.
And that's what rocks my world.
Or one or two of them, and that's it. So there's also the final one on this list, Steve, is the Snowy Mountain Christmas at Club Wyndham Resort at Avon.
Avon.
Talk about winter wonderland. Club Wyndham Resort at Avon near Vail, Colorado.
Oh, that's cool.
Stunning holiday escape. With plenty of area skiing, skating, sleigh rides, and so much more.
And other S-words. That's going to be sick.
Cowper loves it.
Skiing, surfing, snowing.
back at the rustic resort retreat, sip hot cocoa under a ceiling snow projector.
Thick.
And gather the crew to make s'mores.
It's nice.
In the in-room fireplace. After dinner, organize a snowball fight before convening in the living room for a magical tree lighting ceremony.
And with legitimate snow, because in the Nashville, we're looking at pictures of the Nashville setup, and they actually had, like, fake snowballs filled in the stall, the shower.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a little annoying.
Oh, Dr. Preston, how are you? I can't believe him just come up on the roof, will you? You know, he just landed there and crashed. And what do you think it is?
Do I hear reindeer on
me? Wait a minute. Yeah. This is a guy that's your room service guy who shows up.
Enjoying your hallmark. I said, screaming at me. Oh, Dr. Preston, how are you? I can't believe him just come up on the roof, will you? You know, he just landed there. You folks on the room
service?
You know, Rantler's unbelievable. It's like a billion. Whoa!
Okay.
God. At the beginning of that clip, it almost sounds like I'm going to talk to Preston. But I don't
play it again.
Play it again.
Oh, Dr. Preston, how are you?
Come on, man.
I'm going to talk to Preston. you like the band Rush? will you?
What is he saying?
Stop the presses.
Oh, stop the presses.
Hit from the beginning again, Case. If you could.
All right. Here. Oh, stop the presses, yo, Adrian. I can't believe we'll just come up on the roof.
Why is it raining?
Are you okay? It's not even words.
I know I've said this.
He's gonna swallow his tongue quickly.
Get a pencil.
I know I've said this before, but that was the best take. That's the one that made it to film.
Yeah, we want one that feels right.
Yeah. We missed the ones that didn't make the cut.
That's the one we're gonna pick.
Talk to Preston.
Oh, Dr. Preston, how are you? I can't believe we'll just come up on the roof.
And now Dad's going to read Night Before Christmas.
Dear God. Okay.
One of the classic missteps.
All right. We have Danica McKellar in 5 minutes.
Yeah, we gotta stretch.
We gotta keep going?
We gotta keep
going. Take it away, Ron. All right. All right, listen, if you don't want to go to the Hallmark Christmas for entertainment to their special hotels, there's something else I saw that you may want to try out.
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do this year, just on a side thing pertaining to Kathy's fall activities list. It had been a while since I'd been to Peddler's Village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That around the holidays is just...
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
That's just... that's what you want. That's a Hallmark environment.
Is this a new segment? Is this Preston Elliott's travelogue?
Sucks breath. This is a different place. This is the people.
All right. Well, if you don't want to travel to any one of those cities to do a Hallmark event, you may want to go to Saudi Arabia.
Yes, for Christmas.
Not for Christmas. Oh. No. The Middle Eastern country has announced plans to convert an oil rig into a 150,000 square meter extreme park. It's Action Park, Saudi Arabia edition, and it's located in the Arabian Gulf. And actually, it looks pretty awesome.
Does it?
Really? Yeah, what they've put together so far, because it's out on a freaking platform out in the ocean with roller coasters and stuff.
Oh, I saw the plans for this. They built it?
Yeah, it's a rendering.
Okay.
It's a rendering.
Oh, okay.
It looks pretty cool.
Look at that.
Middle Eastern country has announced this, that they have plans for it. It is funded by Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund, or the PIF.
The PIF.
The rig will be comprised of 3 hotels and 11 restaurants spread over a number of connected platforms, as well as roller coaster rides and adrenaline rush activities like bungee jumping and skydiving.
Okay, so this is the rendering.
Isn't that awesome? You need to go there.
That'd be astonishing.
Yeah. This is like the Saudi Arabians just saying, we got a butt ton of oil money.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with it next?
Oh, well, it's they're trying to reduce their dependency on oil right now.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yes. So the it says renderings of the upcoming attraction, which aims to, quote, provide a multitude of hospitality offerings, adventures, and aquatic sporting experiences, along with a promotional video released earlier this month.
I've seen a lot of commercials lately for cruises. I guess the cruise lines are just trying to get back. And right. And so they're offering really, really reduced rates. But there's one cruise, I believe it's Royal, and they show these people, this person doing that, it's surfing.
Yes.
And it's at the top of the... I'm like, dude, what if you catch a bad wave and you just...
Wait, get flung off the ship.
You flung off the ship,
right?
So
you're at a very high level on the ship, and it's one of those surfing machines.
It's a one big wave.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Endless wave.
Yeah.
They also have, if you saw a case, they also have on that same ship a go-kart track.
Yes.
And then they also have one of at least the Disney ones do, have the water slide through the tube, which is pretty amazing.
So you're thinking that maybe they could go flying off the ship?
I mean, I'm sure...
There he goes.
I'm sure the chances of that are pretty slim.
What they do, Casey, is they combine that with the skeet shooting. When somebody goes flying off the side, you try and shoot them before they hit the water.
Pull!
Yeah. So anyhow...
This thing is awesome.
A completion date for the venture for this oil rig theme park, if you will... has not been stipulated, so they don't know when they're going to do it.
Well, the one thing they do is they build big stuff quickly. Mm-hmm. So, that would be astonishing.
In this rendering, I count three helipads.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a cruise ship dock.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the ways you'd have to get there, I guess.
Is there there's a resort hotel on it, right?
Yeah,
it
looks
there's
like
three
it.
Hotels.
Three? I'm sorry, I missed
three,
that.
Three hotels.
Oh, my God.
And these platforms are connected, so...
Wow.
It says here, it's described as the world's first tourism destination inspired by offshore oil platforms. The upcoming attraction is being devised in line with the long-term Saudi Vision 2030s strategy, which aims to reposition Saudi Arabia as a top international tourism destination and diversify its economy. While millions of religious visitors make the pilgrimage to the Saudi holy city of Mecca every year, the country's conservative laws restricting women's freedoms, along with its troubling human rights history, have made it a less than favorable destination for many international visitors.
But we have golf.
But the country is determined to reposition itself as an alluring global hotspot that can compete with the likes of nearby Dubai and Abu Dhabi and Oman. It claims to attract 100 million tourists each year by the close of the decade. So that's
astonishing.
What they'd like to do. Yeah, if they could pull that off, man, I'd never go there. I'd never have the opportunity to go that far around the country or around the world just to go
to an amusement park, basically glorified. But I'd like to see it.
It looks pretty badass. So
I love that stuff.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know.
I'm so jonesing for an amusement park visit. I did Universal, which is basically than an amusement park. That was just before everything all hell broke loose.
Hey, when you go to like a Disney World or whatever, or even Great Adventure, do they have a max amount of tickets that they will sell on a day, or
maximum? So what they would consider maximum occupancy?
Yeah. Do they ever sell out during the day, or will they just know if you want to pay to get in here and wait
that's
in
a
line
good
for?
Question.
Well,
because
people
hours.
Are always coming in and leaving, you know. So I wonder.
There are are counting. There's got to be a capacity. They have to have something. I mean, have they ever been to that? I don't know. But they have to have some sort of capacity limit.
Mm. You would imagine.
I don't know. All right. Well, I do know that our guest is on the line.
Oh-ho!
And ready to go. Are we playing the same music?
Yeah.
We were just talking. Had all this going on when we were talking about the Hallmark Christmas Channel, Christmas suites that you can get into now,
which is awesome.
They're going to be available starting November 1st. But Friday, it's You, Me, and the Christmas Trees premiering on the Hallmark Channel. Please welcome a regular guest on our show nowadays. Please give some love to Danica McKellar.
Yay!
Hello, Danica.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Hey, you know, before we get into You, Me, and the Christmas Trees, we just had a lengthy conversation about the Hallmark Channel having these hotel suites that you can rent. Are you familiar with that?
You know, I don't know. I've heard about it, but I don't know enough about it to talk about it. I just heard you saying, I was like, oh, darn it, I should have gotten, like, the download on all that. Yeah, I know. I think Holly Robinson Pete. I just saw that she posted about that yesterday.
Oh. I wasn't sure if that was one of your perks or not, being a star
right, yeah.
on multiple of these Hallmark Channel specials.
Right, I've done just a few of them. But just so you guys, Christmas is starting really early.
Yeah.
This year. The earliest ever before.
This is the earliest for a premiere for a Hallmark movie?
What was that?
This is the earliest you've ever premiered a Hallmark Christmas movie.
This is the earliest there's ever been.
Wow.
Christmas Hallmark. Yeah, I think maybe one year there was on the 23rd. But this is the 22nd. So that's as soon as the earliest.
All right.
Christmas cheer. Look, Christmas cheer can't come soon enough. I am really excited about this movie. It's so much fun. It's called You, Me, and the Christmas Trees. And I play a Christmas tree chemist, really. I'm an evergreen expert, and I'm great at solving people's problems with their trees. If their trees aren't doing well, I can make them do great. If there's, like, you know, a disease or the needle's dropping or whatever's going on, you know, I'm called the Christmas tree whisperer.
How about that? Yeah, you don't even have to tell me a damn thing, and I'm going to watch this movie.
Steve's in.
I am in. I kid you not. I will watch it. It's all of this stuff. Now, you can catch Christmas movies throughout the season, older movies. Hallmark will pop them up, and that's part of the deal. But this is the beginning of my favorite time of year. So to have it sort of coincide and overlap with my other favorite time, Halloween, it's perfect.
You know what? I always thought, it's like, look, you can be in Christmas and then, you know, visit Halloween and then come back to Christmas and then visit Thanksgiving and then
exactly.
go back to Christmas. I see no problem with that.
Well,
it's great. I want to tell you something really fun about this movie, though. It's a little bit different, and that is that. So I play this chemist, and the Christmas tree farmer right. is my co-star. But Jason Hervey, who played Wayne Arnold on The Wonder Years, is in this movie with us. He plays a rival Christmas tree lot owner, and he is hilarious.
Jason Hervey plays a jerk. What a stretch!
He always plays the jerk.
He always gets cast as that kind of foil.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I love it.
And it's funny, these days most of them producing, but he sort of came out of retirement for me.
Well, that is what's going to draw me in. Not that you're not enough of a draw, Danica. I love it, but I do get a little bit of overload. My wife, it's on all the time, but I am dying to see you and Jason on screen together after all these years.
We've not worked together since The Wonder Years. We've been good friends, though. We've been family friends forever. And he's just a sweetheart, and I just love him like a brother, for real. but, yeah, this is the first time we've worked together. And we were, like, we'd be on set and looking at each other and just, like, start cracking up because it's just, I don't know, it's out of context, but, like, deja vu. And he's fantastic. He's so great. He has this one line where, you know, he's really glad that my co-star's trees aren't doing well. And, of course, that's why he and I get together because I'm like, there to try to help him. And he's really glad. He's like, you're done. You're done.
I'm going to bury your Christmas lot.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter. I know how it's all going to end. I know every plot point. It doesn't matter. I'm going
to
watch
comforting.
It. Yeah.
Isn't it comforting?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's exact. There is no, people will try to down talk sometimes, occasionally, Hallmark movies. And you're like, I don't care. I love them. To me, that's, you sit there and like if I've anything that I'm doing, especially around the holidays, and we're getting closer and closer, you can put them on and just one right after another, and it works. Christmas would not be the same without these movies. So, is this your only one for the season, or do you have anything else in the pipeline? Because you also do the mysteries and other stuff for Hallmark.
No, this is a Christmas movie coming up for Hallmark.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, this is Christmas 24/7 now. So there'll be tons of my other. I mean, this is my seventh Hallmark Christmas movie. So all the other six will be repeating throughout the season. You know, Crown for Christmas is one of people's favorites of mine, where I play the governess and
fall in love
with a king. Yeah, that, I mean, you'll find that one on. You can probably search for it. It's probably already got airtime.
Yeah, you came on to promote that on the show. Yeah, well, we're right with you on all this.
Yeah, it is 24/7 Christmas movies. So on Hallmark Channel, starting with my movie this Friday at 8 o'clock, moving forward through New Year's.
I think.
I mean, it's all Christmas all the time.
And keep going.
The things that people criticize us for are also the things that people love us
for. Yeah, of course. The fact
that Christmas is starting so early, and also that the movies are a little predictable. Both amazing things, you know?
Yeah, yes, guess what?
Very early.
Indiana Jones always wins at the end of the movie. So James Bond always wins. That's what happens. And in these things, you and the guy are going to get together. It's going to be awesome, yes. And it's going to look Christmassy. And that's all I want.
It's going to look Christmassy. It's going to get you in a Christmas spirit. There's going to be Christmas music, like wall-to-wall Christmas music. People are going to be having hot cocoa. There's going to be tree decorating. There's going to be realizing the meaning of Christmas. In this movie, my character, you know, sometimes I'm the one who is a Christmas, who loves Christmas and helps my co-star. In this one, I'm the one who doesn't really like Christmas very much. And she's got the Christmas spirit. So I find the Christmas spirit.
Do you get the Christmas spirit?
I have it, but it's buried deep inside because my parents in the movie had always been all about impressing the neighbors with their decorations. So I'm sort of over it. Yeah, yep. But I learned the meaning of the true meaning of Christmas.
There you go.
My co-star when I'm falling in love. I mean, it's, you know, and I'm not giving away too much.
No. It doesn't matter if you did. I'd still watch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's no problem.
Hey, Danica, so it was sort of floated out here earlier this morning, and you are not only an actress, but you're also, you have produced a few of these movies that maybe, and this is a good idea for you as a producer and an actress.
Is this a pitch?
This is just an idea. I don't know it was floated out here on the show earlier that maybe like you and Candace Cameron Bure, Lacey Chabert, what if you guys were all in one of these together, you know?
The GOATs, the greatest of all time one movie.
We've certainly, I mean, we actresses have said, hey, how fun would that be? But, you know, there's a very particular format. So maybe at some point I would love that. I mean, they're good friends and you know, you don't get to spend time with each other like you do if you're doing a movie and you're together all day long. That would be so much fun. We'd love it.
All right, so this is the seventh one for you. Who reigns supreme? Who has the most, you know? Is it you?
You know, it might actually be Lacey in terms of the number of movies, but I think Candace and Lacey are tied. They both got involved with Hallmark a little sooner than I did.
Yes.
So I think they're both somewhere around 10.
All right. Here's what I'm thinking. You guys all have children, and there is a Christmas pageant that you guys are putting on. You guys are all very heavily involved in the Christmas pageant and then fun and frivolity and everything.
And happiness and warmth and Christmas decorations.
And love.
And cookies and trees. That's what you want. That's the whole thing.
By the way, Danica, there's a formula that my father-in-law has come up with. And so far, he's been spot on. We will watch the shows when they're in town. And at the 5-minute mark left, you know, because they will end roughly right at the top of the hour. The 5-minute mark left to go on the show is when the kiss happens. And he is, I mean, 9 times out of 10, spot on. I don't know if
you think that can't be right. There's not 5 minutes of movie that happens after the kiss because if the kiss happens, the movie better wrap up within about a minute.
Maybe it's the 1-minute mark.
Yeah, it's possible.
But
yeah.
It was last year, I think, and we're like, Butch is right again.
Yeah, and this is
possible that there's like credits and stuff that take up all that time. I'm talking about from the time the movie's done, like the movie says, you know, like the end.
Yeah,
that should be about a minute and a half max.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's been like studies have been shown that once that kiss happens, people are happy and satisfied and they'll move on.
Yeah, I am. I'm ready to go.
Out of here.
Let's go.
Yeah. Danica, we have to wrap this up with you in a second here, but I just want to let you know. So you and I are contemporaries. We're roughly the same age. You're actually 7 months older than me. And when The Wonder Years came out, we were the same age, and that show really spoke to me. And it was recently it was added onto Netflix, and so I was like, let me go back and watch this and see if the show still holds up. And so I watched the first couple episodes. The first episode is the episode where your brother dies, and then you and Kevin Arnold have your first kiss. And it was, God, it was it's such a great show. And even, you know, here it is, like 30 years later, however, it is such a great show. I got to thank you for being a part of that and being a part of my childhood growing up. Yes, 30 years later, it still holds up.
Thank you so much. Well, it was a joy to be on that show growing up. I'm so grateful for it and really excited that I get to, of course, play with Jason Hervey on this movie this Friday. And I want to let everybody know I'm going to be live tweeting.
Yes.
So join in the Twitter party by using the hashtag you, me, and the Christmas trees.
Excellent. All right, we'll do it. That's Friday. Thank you, Danica McKellar. You, me, and the Christmas tree. So she's a Christmas doctor, Steve.
Yes, she's going to take care of it. And it's adorable. She thinks there's not even a need to go through any of the plot points. I know the plot, and that's why I'm going to watch.
All right, so here's the count. And maybe these aren't just Christmas specials on Hallmark because they have the list of who has the most. So Danica is clocked in at number 4 with 12. Andrew Walker. So I guess he's a guy who's a regular.
I love you. You made my tree not sick.
He's done 13. Lacey Chabert at 17. And Candace Cameron Bure with the most at 19.
What needs to be...
I knew Alicia Witt was starting to sneak in there. Yes. She's got 8 of them. Okay.
What needs to be determined is whether we're talking about her, like the crime movies. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The August, Teapot, whatever that is. Anyway. Yes, we have to find out.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we return, your chance at $500, friends. It is MMR's Money Clip right after this.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, benefiting Phil Abundance.
At Xfinity Live in the Wells Fargo Center complex.
This year, we're starting earlier than ever. It all kicks off Monday, November 1st.
The gang will be camping out for an entire week.
Inside the Bimbo Bakeries USA broadcast tent.
But audience attendance will be very limited.
We're emphasizing cash donations this year, both at WMMR.com and at your local Acme Market at the checkout register.
Non-perishable food donations can be accepted via our drive-through drop-off, fueled by Pepsi.
Camp Out is not possible without the generosity of you and our partners.
Comcast Spectacor and the Philadelphia Flyers, White Horse RV Center, Keen Compressed Gas, Wisvis Bank, Xfinity from Comcast, and Mayfair Fence.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger from 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
WMMR, it's everything that rocks. All right, a little bit after 10 o'clock.
Good Lord, did I just say that?
You did.
That's the same type of mistake I made in the Daily Rush video. That yes. is that.
He just lost Casey.
He was sitting here watching it.
Casey is out. We've got a Casey down. Damn it.
I'm looking for the
next time, make it 9. Less desperate.
There you go.
10 o'clock.
Oh, that.
10 o'clock. That's the part I said, the thing I said wrong. And in this... I forgot, what was I trying to say in the video? Do you remember?
You were trying to say crumb.
Crumb crusted. And I said something else.
You left right. out the R of crumb.
Okay, well, if you want to see that Daily Rush video before you see this Daily Rush video, which will probably be coming up down the road, you better check that out now. And we'll send it to you if you follow WMMR on Instagram. Where the hell's Kathy?
Yeah, where is she?
We're supposed to be doing traffic, our final look at traffic.
I heard a small fart, and then I saw her run up and...
She was holding her ass,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Running away?
Yeah, she just spit.
No?
He almost.
I held it.
Almost choked on her. He
said, I just heard a burp.
Heard a small and... fart in it. She ran.
Bam.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
All right.
Okay. Do we have a traffic?
Oh, there she is.
Hey!
She made it back.
Yes.
Everything come out all right?
Yep. You missed a great intro, Kathy.
I know.
The first part wasn't about you. It was a mistake I made. You'll have to watch the movie when it comes out.
I'll get the podcast.
Sorry.
93.3 WMMR. It's time for an MMR money clip.
I am a vampire.
Oh, yeah? Well,
here's your money clip keyword.
All right, sorry. I didn't realize what time it was, even though I said 10.
Oh.
All right, anyway, the word is sound.
Yeah.
S-O-U-N-D. And you have until 15 minutes after the hour. We're only giving you 7 minutes to get that in because that's all you have left. But enter it via the text, special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. So the word is sound. And one random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest. That person gets a call from Beasley. Make sure you answer your phone. Contest rules available at WMMR.com. Sponsored by Horizon Services. So sound. S-O-U-N-D. Good luck.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, the Bizarre File is brought to you this morning by Horizon Services. You can get a free up to $2,000 upgrade When you buy a new heating and cooling system and Horizon Services' best deal ever, you can install it as soon as tomorrow or it's free. Visit horizonservices.com. All right, we'll start with this story out of Montreal. Police are investigating after a Lamborghini Aventador, I guess is how you say that, wound up wrecked and abandoned in the middle of a Montreal boulevard in the middle of the night. Like, it's just sitting, they just found it.
I broke it, I'm going to leave it.
Montreal police said that they were alerted around 1:25 a.m. Saturday morning after a blue Lamborghini crashed. Images of the crash posted on social media showed debris from the vehicle scattered across the pavement. The back of the car was ripped open and at least one wheel was torn off. The vehicle was unoccupied when officers arrived at the scene and there were no reported injuries. Frank Jamilli, who owns and operates a place called La Vie Exotics and rents luxury cars, including Lamborghinis, said that he owns his vehicles but is certain the one that crashed on Saturday was a rental from a shop that brokers luxury vehicles from private owners.
That sounds like it.
Yeah, so he thinks it came from a private owner had rented this out.
Yeah.
Jamilli said that if you want to rent a Lamborghini or other luxury car from his shop, they require a $20,000 deposit and minimum age of 25. His staff can track any car using GPS, and it will contact the driver if they notice speeds are exceeding limits or they are driving erratically. He said that accidents like the one on Saturday will increase insurance on his Lamborghinis, which is already between $20,000 and $30,000 per year.
God.
After looking at the accident footage, he's certain that the accident was caused by negligence and that the driver was almost certainly speeding. He said for the damage they did, they had to have been going over 130 or 140 when they did it. So, yeah, pretty messed up. Well, this had to be a bit of a disappointment for Mike Schmidt. No, not the baseball player. This guy is from Wisconsin. And he grew a 2,520-pound pumpkin, believed to be the heaviest grown in the U.S. this year. But it was disqualified from competition due to a tiny crack.
Believe it or not.
Schmidt says the fingernail-sized crack in the pumpkin's exterior is believed to be the result of internal pressure from the pumpkin's large size and the awkward way that it was growing. If the pumpkin hadn't been disqualified, Schmidt would have won a prize of $22,000 the 2021 Safeway World Championship Pumpkin Weigh-Off in California, which offers a prize of $9 per pound to the winner. Schmidt says, it happens. There's no crying in pumpkin growing. If you can do it again, so we just got to... I know I can do it again, so we just got to look forward to the future, he says.
It blows my mind that a little imperfection like that puts you out of the running. I don't get that.
Casey, what's the name of that place? Gentilly's on 252?
Yeah.
They have those massive, like the one that this guy grew outside Gentilly's, the huge
pumpkin. For sale?
Yeah, for sale. There's like five or six of them just sitting right out front. It's pretty amazing.
Okay. Let's see. Suspecting that someone had entered a barn on her property without permission, a Florida woman set up a trail camera that subsequently recorded a laborer having repeated sexual contact with a horse housed in a structure.
No, you don't do that.
Homeowner Catherine Engel told police last month that she installed the trail camera inside the four-stall Vero Beach barn where her horses are kept after discovering ligature marks around one horse's neck. Aww. She also recalled finding bungee cords and ropes around the neck of a miniature horse, even though she never placed any on it. The camera, cops say, captured Santiago Victoria, who's 57 years old, entering a barn late at night and invading a stall occupied by a horse named Mariah. During three separate encounters...
They call that horse Mariah.
Victoria gets behind the horse in a sexual manner.
Having sex with a horse.
The Indian River Sheriff's Office affidavit... affidavit provides a graphic account of Victoria's alleged illicit conduct inside the...
Who is
having
that?
Sex with a horse.
I used to think that that was Oprah, but it's not.
No, it's some newscaster.
It's not Oprah. It's a guy.
Well, we got other Oprah clips
having
that are
sex with a horse.
There you go. It's Oprah.
Okay, it's Oprah.
You've got a horse under your chair.
Sex party.
So anyway, let's continue. When cops confronted Victoria at his residence, he reportedly admitted it.
but he could not remember how many times he had done it.
I lost the count after a while.
Victoria,
it was a wonderful night and one I will not forget.
Was arrested on 3 felony burglary charges as well. All right.
Quick little reminder on this one.
The word is sound. If you want to text that, you have less than 2 minutes now for the money clip word. So it's sound. S-O-N-D.
S-O. S-O.
It's been a day, man. S-O.
S-O. O-Yo. U-Yo. N-Yo. D-O.
Is that like pig Latin? Yeah. It's like yo Latin.
Yeah, yo Latin.
Send yo.
S yo.
S yo.
Oh, yo.
Yo and D. Yo.
Jesus.
I know.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize.
And Steve's the one that has to.
I know. I'm doing my prep.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're getting The butt thing, right?
Yeah,
butt
thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Butt thing part two.
All right.
The butt thing.
Electric boogaloo. Okay, let me continue on. Am I done with? Yeah, I'm done with this one. Okay. An inmate nearing the end of his sentence has been jailed for an extra 6 months after repeatedly slapping a female prison butt, female prison officer's butt.
Oh, okay.
It says backside, but I wanted to be better. This is out of England. They say backside, we say butt over
Stupid.
Here. Paul Morgan laughed when the guard challenged him, saying that he got a bit excited. But he broke down in tears as a judge extended his sentence for the act of degradation and humiliation against a vulnerable victim who was just doing her job.
Yes.
The wheelchair-bound prisoner was soon to be released from the Category B prison, where he was sentenced for sent for harassment and breaching a restraining order when the unnamed officer turned her back on him on July 3rd. I'm like, he was ready to get out of prison.
Oh, man.
And they slapped him with another 6 months because of this. She told the court, he slapped my buttocks multiple times with both hands. I would never consent to a prisoner touching me there. When she rejected Morgan's advances, he responded, come on, it wasn't hard. And then she asked him what made him think he could touch her like that, and he replied, I just got a bit excited. He was smiling and laughing as she turned to walk away, the court was told. So the presiding magistrate accepted the offense was not a sustained attack, more that it was spontaneous, but found Morgan guilty of sexual harassment. And he's also ordered to sign the sex offenders registry for 7 years.
Jeez.
He has 14 previous convictions for 46 offenses, of which 13 are for battery and drugs offenses, although none were for a similar nature of the incident. But they threw him back in jail.
Crazy.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right. Another break to take. When we get back, we'll ask the lesson question, give some goods away. Speaking of giving things away, let's do a $25 gift card. Hang on a second. I got to make sure I get it all correct. It is the Horse Tavern and Grill.
The horse. Don't do it.
No,
don't
I'm
do
not.
It.
Okay. I'm not.
Horse Tavern and Grill.
This is a commercial.
And we'll take caller number 9-215-263 WMMR. You can enjoy $3 Bud and Bud Light pints and $5 Bud Light Black Cherry Seltzer drafts during all the Birds games at The Horse. And Nick will be there tomorrow night from 7 to 9. Make sure you stop by. There's stuff to win. We'll have a good time. Absolutely. So call number 9. $25 gift card is yours. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve. Their name is their address.
On the web. PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Beautiful day today. 76 degrees and sunshine. Nothing but it all day long this Wednesday morning, which is fantastic. We have sunny skies tomorrow with a high 77 and then 69 on Friday, so cooling off quite a bit. And then Saturday and Sunday, even cooler. It's going to be down into like low 60s. Which is where we should be anyhow.
That's fine.
Mid to low 60s.
Now, the thing is, as we start to move this, if we're in the 60s,
Are you talking about camp out?
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
That would be kind of cool.
I would love that. Yeah. We're gonna have some rides. We're gonna have some stuff. We're gonna have a little limited on the number of people who can be hanging about all the entire time, and it's just gonna be kind of feeling it out as we go along.
Right.
That's how we're gonna play this thing. So we're gonna ask those who come out to, you know, if there's a whole lot of people, kind of make some room, see if we can get some people in and out, and we'll just see how it goes. Just make sure that everybody is safe and happy and comfortable.
It's a different setup, but it's more like the setup you've been used to in the past.
Yeah. Smaller than our biggest of big setups. Right. Last year was much smaller because we didn't have people in the audience. But we'll have more of this that we'll get into details on next week, I assume. We're still working on it, to be honest.
Yes,
we're still getting it ready, but they're going to start, I think, loading in equipment today or tomorrow.
Very soon.
Yeah, to get ready for that. So camp out's coming, gang. We're going to do today's lesson question. We're going to give away a $50 Metro Diner gift card for the correct answer to this question. And let me see. How about... I'm sorry, I didn't look at these ahead of time.
No problem.
Stupid. I had them here in front of me and I didn't know. How about this? How do you spell the word sound, according to me? And you only need to give the first two letters.
No, yeah.
And that was just like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. How do you spell the word sound, according to me? I wonder if anybody even caught it. We'll see, but call now, and we'll try and have you get a shot at it, and maybe win a prize. We'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, it's brought to you by Monster Mania. Meet the biggest names in horror this weekend at Monster Mania Con 48.
Ah.
That's in Oaks, Pennsylvania, with Christina Ricci and Michael Myers reunion. And more at MonsterMania.net. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Tiger King's Jeff Lowe being evicted from his Tiger King park for failure to pay $10,000 in rent. Lowe says he believes he can raise the money by cutting costs with hamburgers made out of tiger meat.
Oh, man.
Alex Rodriguez was trolled, by Boston baseball fans during the American League Championship Series game Monday night as they kept shouting, J-Lo and Affleck. Rodriguez was reportedly so upset that he left the game being worth $400 million.
Oh,
my God. And finally, Gwyneth Paltrow says she's been getting candid about dispensing sex advice to her teenage son, Moses. Paltrow says she told Moses to treat his women like the Red Sea and part those legs.
All right, we will go to the phones and see if we can get an answer to this question. How do you spell the word sound? According to me, just a few minutes ago, 215-263-WMMR. It is Dennis we will speak to. Hey, Dennis.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
All right, so good morning to you. How do you spell the word sound? At least the first two letters.
S-E-O.
S-E-O.
Yeah.
S-E-O-N-D. Yes, hang on, Dennis. You, sir, are getting a $50 Metro Diner gift card, and you can find all the flavor with Metro Diner's newest herb roasted chicken, which is a bone-in half chicken marinated fresh daily in a blend of special herbs and spices and oven-roasted to tender perfection. Enjoy today. Order online at metrodiner.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, Music News is brought to you by Iron Hill Brewery's top-selling IPA and seasonal beers that are now available everywhere the craft beer is sold locally. You can visit ironhillbrewery.com and click Beer Finder to find a retailer near you. So Fred Durst teased a new album from Limp Bizkit on his Instagram story on Tuesday. The frontman said, "Should I drop a new song? Maybe Turn It Up, Bitch, or Goodbye? Or should I just drop a whole new album, all 12 songs? What do you think?"
Nah. It's okay.
You don't want to hear Turn It Up, Bitch?
No.
Did you watch that Woodstock documentary?
Still haven't, no.
Okay. Like, one of the big agitators during that whole thing, Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
When they're on stage, and Fred Durst specifically ignored requests from... promoters, right, Case?
Mm-hmm.
And how he was to sort of handle the audience that was already showing signs of unruliness.
He didn't like being told what to do, maybe?
Yeah, and he went the complete other way.
Yeah. The forthcoming album will be the first since 2011's Golden Cobra, by the way.
Oh, Golden Cobra.
Before Adam Schlesinger fronted Fountains of Wayne, of course, he has passed away earlier this year. Actually, last year is when it happened. He was a member of the indie pop group called Ivy, a trio. Surviving band members Andy Chase and Dominic Duran shared a half-hour tribute to the late musician and songwriter on YouTube on Tuesday, featuring rare and previously unseen clips. Chase and Duran explained in the caption, we knew Adam Schlesinger for 30 years and felt we should finally create an official Ivy statement about who he was to us. We wanted to show a more intimate human side to Adam, the friend, the father, the bandmate, the whirlwind force that he was. So we made a short film using exclusive home movies and videos and photos. Hopefully this will help add more weight and color to the extraordinary legacy that Adam left behind. Schlesinger died on April 1st of last year at the age of 52 from complications of COVID-19. So they put out this nice little tribute to him. Nikki Sixx has shed some light on why David Lee Roth didn't want to join Motley Crue's stadium tour, which will now play next spring. That 30-date stadium run will also feature Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Sixx surmised why Dave decided to pass on the run, telling Forbes, yeah, well, he probably influenced everybody. He said that band, Van Halen, is a monster. But, you know, understandably, we all get to make our choices and stuff. I just thought with the body of work that he has with a lot of people, it could be really exciting. And I understand his position, too. He spoke about shifting into the role of an elder statesman rocker, explaining, as you get older, you have to work harder. And I wanted to be transparent about that. I don't want to be like, hey, look at me. I got 400 injections of Botox and I'm 22 years old. And they're like, wait a minute. No, you're not. You're 62. And the 22-year-olds are trying to eat your lunch. That's what you've got to worry about. It's the young wolf that I'm worried about. He added, I'll stay toe-to-toe with the big boys, but the young wolves are coming for us, and they've learned from us, just like I learned from the great bands. They get to look at the Metallicas, the Motleys, the U2s, the DNRs, name it, whatever it is, and they're like, okay, this is what's worked, this is what doesn't work, and we're going to start our own band. And I wanted people to understand that hard work that we have to go into, the hard work that we have to go into, especially if you're a young band, you could read that first chapter, meaning of the first 21, which is his book, and go, okay, this is how it's done. And if we want to have a career that's 10, 20, 30 years old, this is a good little roadmap.
Interesting.
So he's obviously promoting that book as well, and wouldn't mind having him on to talk about that. Maybe we will down the road. And then one last thing, a little bit out of format, but definitely has to do with the history of rock music. A new documentary on James Taylor and Carole King has been commissioned by CNN and HBO Max. It was announced yesterday that Carole King and James Taylor, Just Call Out My Name, will premiere on CNN when domestic streaming and international distribution rights going to HBO Max. Frank Marshall is directing and producing the film. He's the one who did the Bee Gees' How Can You Mend a Broken Heart documentary.
Which was superb.
As well as The Gift, The Journey of Johnny Cash, and Laurel Canyon, A Place in Time, which is also great.
I love that. Yeah, that's a good collection, and he'll handle this nicely. They do have a really wonderful story together.
No premiere date has been announced for Just Call Out My Name yet. According to Variety, the documentary will focus on the duo's 2010 world tour, dubbed the Troubadour Reunion Tour. The title referred to their having played together at West Hollywood's famed Troubadour Club when they were starting out in 1970 and subsequent six-night stand they did there in 2007 to celebrate the Night Spot's 50th anniversary, which that led to their taking it on the road to global arenas 3 years later. So that's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that. All right, that's it in music news. We got to give away our secret text word.
Yeah.
Got to do that now. Romano. Yo, Romano.
No.
Give us a number caller, please.
7.
All right, 7th caller. They love it. They love her.
They love her.
215-263-WMMR. Caller number 7, if you know the word or the secret text word, yes. You can win the prize. And we got other giveaways before we're done, by the way. So we'll come back with more of that when we return.
Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
The Wednesday morning edition of the Preston and Steve Show, which is coming to a close, by the way. And we still have a few things that we need to do before wrapping for the day. One of those things is giving away our secret text word prize. We were looking for a caller, and that caller is on the line, number 7, and it's Robert. Hey, Robert.
Good morning, It.
Good morning, It, Robert. What is the secret text word, sir?
Okay, I envision poster.
Poster, yes. You are correct, sir. I want you to hang on the line because we are going to give you the Suicide Squad on digital. Supervillains Harley Quinn, Bloodsport, Peacemaker, and a collection of Nutty Cons. Join the Super Secret Super Shady Task Force X, starring Margot Robbie and Idris Elba, and you can own it now on digital, 4K, Ultra HD. We grabbed a random texter, and I believe it is, does that say Evan Smodish?
Yeah.
From the Lehigh Valley?
Smodish.
All right, Evan, we are going to set you up with the Suicide Squad on digital as well. So congrats. We'll get your info and get that to you. That's what we'll do. I would like to thank our guests for being on the show today. We had a blast. Two of our favorites, Tom Papa. Was
hey!
On.
Hey!
Mr. Papa is going to be at the Borgata this weekend. He's looking forward to being out and about in
yes.
Atlantic City. And he will be there Saturday night. 9 o'clock is the show. And you can get tickets at theborgata.com or you can go to tompapa.com. Either way, get the tickets. He's awesome. And you guys can spend some time together. Also, we had Danica McKellar on the show in yet another Hallmark Channel movie. This one is on Friday, and it is called You, Me, and the Christmas Trees. And, yes, you can check
they
that
get
out.
They sick.
Pierre said, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Do you need
and they're going to be running 24 hours, by the way, all the Christmas specials.
Oh, I've No, he did not spill something. No, Casey, don't you spill something.
No, I think he was uh-oh-ing because yeah. they're already running Christmas stuff. So I'm with you,
it.
Man.
Yep. That was it.
So that was it. Those are the guests. Oh, and thank you to, you know, we'll do a last giveaway in a moment. I want to hold on to it to the very end, but thank you very much, to the Horse Tavern and Grill for being
yes.
here. Nick will be there tomorrow night.
Yeah.
7 to 9. It is for the Bud Light Thursday night kickoff. And there's always Eagles merch and tickets and things like that you can win. And he says that we're very big in Sellersville.
Yeah, nice.
Cool bar, nice people. I'm looking forward to getting back.
Yep. So that'll be tomorrow, which
and
is
And heated outdoors, he says. He's got a nice setup out there. Yeah, yeah.
Very nice.
Excellent. And, yeah, it's going to be great tomorrow. Sunny and 77. So
come on.
The evening, that's going to be fantastic. Yeah. How you doing, man?
I'm well Wonderful. And well.
Raring, ready to go?
I am.
Right,
it's a lovely day. Yeah. Oh. It's perfect day again.
It does look gorgeous.
Yeah. You guys got to get right out and go play.
We will do it.
Okay.
Letter of the day?
Yes.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
N as in nuts.
Nuts. All right, and we have $500 from Ashley Home Store. A proud partner of the Preston and Steve Camp Out for Hunger benefiting Phil Abundance. Shop their 11 area locations or online at ashleyfurniture.com today. It is nuts that we're a week and a half away from the Camp Out for Hunger. I'm blown away by that. Yeah, dude.
Why is it so early this year?
Well, there were some scheduling conflicts with the facility, with the Wells Fargo Center complex.
Okay.
And so to be able to get in the equipment and get it set up, and all the things that we need to do and have the specific footprint that we need, the area that we're going to be in, have the parking available.
Right.
They recommended it doing this particular week.
Okay.
So we're like, okay. We'll
give it a shot.
We'll try it out.
Yep.
You know, if it's an abysmal failure, we won't do that again. if it turns out to be even better, maybe we'll consider doing that again. So, you know, it's one of those. The last 2 years, the last year and a half or so has been so transitional anyway.
Yes.
Right.
That the suggestion of doing something different, like now's the time to try something different if we wanted to try something different. So we decided to go for it. We'll see how it goes.
Our listeners are not going to let it be an abysmal failure. There's no
I know.
Way.
No, you're absolutely right. I was wondering, and I got a text yesterday from someone who said, are we allowed to come down and participate? And there's sort of a vague statement on that in the promos that says people are allowed in limited doses. But do we know more specifically what that means?
We're working on it. So it's going to be standing this time around as opposed to seats and so forth. And therefore,
like old school,
we kind of want to keep things moving. We want to, you know, if people are feeling uncomfortable in a group, then we want to be able to keep the numbers a little bit smaller. And to maybe filter people in and out, as opposed to coming in first thing in the morning and staying there for the whole thing. So we're not going to have any live bands this year, because that is just another piece in the puzzle that we're trying to remove for now until we get back to normal, which we're hoping is next year. And we'll probably have, you know, masks required in the tent, and it's we're working on it. You know, we're, in fact, we're having a meeting as soon as the show's over right now to discuss some of that those very things.
But one thing we can't jeopardize is them. Is somehow, okay, we need to do this, and the city steps in and goes, ah, you can't do this. Right, you know, we can't risk that.
Yeah, so, but we'll, you know, we'll figure it out as we go along.
Yeah, it's a work in progress.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Okay.
It's a lot like your program.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Like my life. How much time do we have? Give me another drink.
Well, speaking of that.
Thank you. Yeah. On the program, two more opportunities for dough at noon and two. And then at 4 and 6 with Jackson and 8 p.m. with Jackie Bam Bam, we've got another set of Elvis Costello tickets for his show at the Met on Sunday. And we'll get into blocks of Dave Matthews. We'll do Lynyrd Skynyrd. It was the plane crash today in 1977. And I'm going to do a flashback to what took place today. I was lucky enough to be at the concert for New York City took place in 20 years ago today.
What a night of music, man.
Oh, yeah. My God. Did you go?
I did not. I actually was working for you at the time. I was in California and saw the Bridge School Benefit the same weekend.
Wow.
Pearl Jam and Dave Matthews, speaking of whom, and Neil Young. So you were in New York. I was in California. But I had that CD and that DVD of that show because it was such a powerful night.
I went there. I had the maybe the worst seats in the house, the highest up and the furthest back, and I didn't care an ounce because it was so moving. Because they reserved the whole floor for the firefighters and police officers, they had been through such hell, and they you could see them just letting their hair down and having a fun time. First of all, which was joyous, and then all these particularly British bands that were coming over to help, you know, the United States. It opened with David Bowie. You know, you had Bon Jovi, Goo Goo Dolls, Billy Joel, Eric Clapton, Backstreet Boys, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. The Who stole the show. I will just they just blew it away. Melissa Etheridge, James Taylor, John Mellencamp, Paul McCartney wrapped it up. Elton John. It was a stunning night of music. So we'll play some songs from that.
Are you going to play the one speech of the firefighter talking about Osama bin Laden?
Okay. Yes.
Because it's the setup and the way they delivers it, and it's perfect. And if you don't get goosebumps listening to that, there's something wrong with you. It's so fantastic.
It's just brilliant. Okay. So that's coming up. It'll be a fun show.
Excellent. Thank you, Pierre. And thank you to our sponsors. President Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the President Steve Show. And Trinity Rehab. I'm heading there in a few minutes.
Me too.
They have nagging pain that you can't, if you have nagging pain you can't get rid of, Trinity Rehab can help. And you can go to trinity-rehab.com for information. Also brought to you by Villanova's College of Professional Studies. You can pursue the next you. We're going to have Brian Posehn on the show tomorrow.
Yes.
We have more chances of the MMR money clip. Chance you're going to win $500, and we're running out of time on that. And one last thing to give away, their final $25 gift card for the Horse Tavern and Grill in Sellersville. Caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR. That will be yours. That is it. We are done. All right, John, and have a great day. And we will see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the bop-bop-toot-a-bop-toot-bop-bop-a-doo-ga-ga-bop-a-dop.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.